Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to corner scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We'll rock so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! To Shaziz the Terrible! All those who King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Men are dead after encounters with police in Minnesota and Louisiana, and social media has sent both of their stories viral. Now, even President Obama weighing in. Eyewitness News reporter Rob Nelson in the newsroom with the latest details. Rob.
Well, Dave, for the second time just this week alone, it is another day of anger and grief after the latest shooting death of a black male at the hands of police. The killings all the more shocking and vivid thanks to social media. After Tuesday's killing in Baton Rouge, local and federal officials are now contending with the case of a 32-year-old Minnesota man also gunned down by police after a seemingly routine traffic stop.
Justice will be served in Minnesota.
Even with Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton promising a full investigation today, there was no containing the raw anger of residents weary of this kind of bloodshed.
Your people keep killing my people. This is black grief. This is black pain. This is black pain. These are black people out here mad protesting. These are black people out here mad because we're tired of our children being murdered in the streets.
Philando Castile's deadly encounter with police last night was captured on this live Facebook video filmed by his girlfriend, Lavish Reynolds, a passenger in his car when the pair was reportedly stopped for a busted taillight in the St. Paul suburb of Falcon Heights.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license.
Reynolds says Castile told police he was carrying a licensed firearm, and when he was reaching for his ID, as requested, he was shot multiple times by a police officer. The video shows Castile bleeding badly in the driver's seat, with Reynolds' four-year-old little daughter watching on from the back of the car. Castile later died at the hospital.
I wanted to put it on Facebook and go viral so that the people could see. I wanted the people to determine who was right and who was wrong. Right.
Castile's mother said today she is outraged by what happened and that she had always told her son to comply with police.
He was just black in the wrong place.
The Castile case comes less than 48 hours after cell phone video captured the shooting death of another black man, Alton Sterling, in Baton Rouge, after he was pinned down by police outside a convenience store where he was selling CDs at the time. Sterling did have a gun, and police, responding to a call about Sterling, say they feared for their lives, and that's why they opened fire at close range. Both shootings have prompted passionate but largely peaceful protests. This afternoon, President Obama posted a statement on Facebook saying, quote, "What's clear is that these fatal shootings are not isolated incidents. They are symptomatic of the broader challenges within our criminal justice system, the racial disparities that appear across the system year after year, and the resulting lack of trust that exists between law enforcement and too many of the communities they serve." And today we also learned Castile worked for a local public school system as a nutrition services supervisor. The system released a statement today describing him as cheerful and someone quick to greet coworkers with a smile or a hug. Meantime, police have not released the name of the officer who pulled the trigger. And today, FBI Director James Comey says he does expect the feds to step into this case, as they already have done in Baton Rouge.
North St. Louis Church is the target of vandals. It appears they started a fire inside the church and spray-painted a racist message on the outside. Fox 2's Jeff Bernthal is live with a look at the damage at the church. Jeff.
So puzzling for the congregation, the pastor here. They have spray-painted a message up on a door there. Contains some offensive words. And then here you've got somebody breaking through this window, starting a fire on the inside. It's boarded up now, but an insurance adjuster puts the damage at about $200,000. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church has a lot to take in. There's all this damage and then a bizarre message spray-painted on the door. It refers to children of Israel and uses a derogatory term for African Americans.
The message say God chose us, but we thought that we all were God's chosen children, you know. But this just shows you the level of hate in our city, not only in our city, but it's happening even across our country.
It's not very clear, but there is some surveillance video. If you look in the upper left-hand corner of the screen, the pastor believes those two persons are responsible. We've reported on other recent church vandalism in North St. Louis. Eastern Baptist Church on St. Louis Avenue was hit at the end of May. And then a couple days later, bricks and concrete thrown through
the
Memorial Baptist Church on
glass.
I guess the pastors really need to come together, brainstorm, and see how can we protect our congregations against this hatred going on in our city.
The most recent damage hit the pastor of this church especially hard because he says he built this church with his own hands, including an expansion.
Well, of course, it's disheartening and it's hurtful, but as a congregation, we stand on faith. So this to us is just something that was evil that God's going to turn into good.
The pastor says he needs time to think about where the congregation will worship and wants to find a way to chase hate out of the hearts of those responsible.
I pray that you repent, and I pray that you understand what you did is detrimental to a lot of people. You've hurt a lot of people, but you have not broke a lot of people.
New at noon, a big brawl at a Walmart reportedly over a dress. 30 people got into the scuffle at a store in Western New York. Now, this broke out at around 7 p.m. on Sunday. The word is two 17-year-olds were making fun of a dress worn by a 24-year-old woman, and that triggered a huge brawl. Some people even went into the sporting goods section of the store and got baseball bats to use in this fight. Now, four people are under arrest and authorities are reviewing surveillance video.
Injured passengers lay on the platform at a train station in Taiwan's capital, Taipei. Officials say at least 21 people were injured when an explosion ripped through the carriage of a commuter train Thursday night. When police inspected the train, they found a suspicious device, according to the Director General of the National Police Agency, Chen Kuo-en.
What I saw was on one of the seats, an explosive device, an elongated firecracker. What I saw was about this long.
According to the Straits Times newspaper, the explosion occurred at the Songshan Railway Station. They say the train was headed from Taipei to a town in northern Taiwan about 3 hours away. They quote police as saying that most of the injuries caused by the explosion were minor and that authorities do not believe it was a terrorist attack.
A very rough early morning in Taiwan as Super Typhoon Nepertax slams into the islands. These pictures were live, where they were live streamed just a short time ago from Taitung County along Taiwan's southeastern coast.
Yeah, this is James Reynolds, who's a storm chaser that we spoke with last hour, in fact, and he's telling people we're seeing wind gusts of almost 300 kilometers an hour, and this is a storm that could dump a meter of rain on the eastern coast of the island. Also some dramatic video I want to show you here, man versus nature.
Oh, goodness.
Look at that. You can see who's winning in man versus nature there.
Yeah, it appears a security guard in Taitung was trying to secure these doors when that gust blew open those doors and took over. Wow, that is frightening.
There
There's been a massive landslide in Alaska near Glacier Park. Seismic monitors indicate it happened late last month. Aerial photos show a snow-capped mountain with an enormous chunk missing. It's estimated 150 million tons of rock fell. The rushing debris spilled onto a glacier and extends more than 6 miles. Researchers at Columbia say the force was equivalent to that of 60 million SUVs falling down the mountain. No one witnessed the avalanche, but it was spotted by a local pilot, Paul Swanstrom, who captured this amazing video.
Such pictures have become commonplace in Europe as NATO completed the region's largest war game since the Second World War. All of this in response to concerns about alleged Russian aggression.
The head of NATO is warning that the organization is facing a critical moment. The group must cement its defenses against a bolder Russia, according to NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg.
This is a defining moment for our security. The world is a more dangerous place than just a few years ago.
Heads of state from NATO's member countries will gather in Warsaw, Poland Friday for a two-day summit. The meeting will be dominated by discussion over NATO's response to Russia and the Ukrainian conflict. Western nations blame Moscow for the unrest, which has claimed more than 9,000 lives. Russia says NATO's beefed-up defenses are what is increasing the risk of a conflict. Meanwhile, Warsaw authorities are stepping up their security. Officials say more than 6,000 police and military personnel will be on duty around the city during the meeting.
There have been reports of drones flying over the Savannah River site. Department of Energy officials have been busy trying to investigate what's going on. They said they've spotted the objects over SRS in the past month. Federal law prohibits drone pilots from flying above nuclear facilities, military sites, and other restricted airspace. News Channel 6's Mike Miller live in our newsroom now. Mike, SRS officials confirm a drone was also spotted over the nuclear reservation just yesterday.
Yeah, Brad, SRS is taking those sightings very seriously and is working with federal, state, and local authorities to find out who is responsible. Now, while some people are concerned because of terrorism, others just think it's a drone hobbyist who doesn't realize where they're flying.
As drones are becoming more popular, federal lawmakers are having to come up with new rules for them. Just this year, the Federal Aviation Administration created a new category for unmanned aircraft. Clay Hawley hasn't piloted one, but he's seen them flying around Jackson, South Carolina.
Just a few around town here that some neighbors have played with, but nothing high-tech. It's the low-cost ones and people just having fun, I think, getting an overhead view of their neighborhood.
And just down the road, the aircrafts have recently been spotted over the Savannah River site, which is a big no-no for pilots.
Now, we spoke with several SRS employees who did not want to speak with us on camera, but they tell us that there have been at least 6 drone sightings in the past week. And they say they know that the drones were spotted because there have been PA announcements.
Because SRS has nuclear materials, employees say they're concerned. They say they're being asked to call security if they see a drone. Once reported, helicopters have been taking off trying to find the unmanned air vehicles. With so much terrorism these days, people just want to know who's flying them.
A temporary truce agreed upon by warring sides in Syria to mark the Eid al-Fitr holiday is violated by foreign-backed terrorists less than 24 hours after coming into effect. Reports say terrorists shelled the Saif al-Dawla neighborhood of Aleppo, killing 3 people. This after a 3-day regime of calm was declared in Syria as Muslims marked the end of the fasting month of Ramadan. There have been renewed diplomatic efforts by both Russia and the U.S. to establish a ceasefire in Syria. However, terrorists in Syria have repeatedly violated ceasefires, taking advantage of lulls in violence to regroup.
Islamic extremists launched a deadly attack during a large Muslim prayer gathering in Bangladesh today. The terrorists hurled homemade bombs and engaged in a gun battle with police. At least one of the bombs exploded during the prayer, which was attended by hundreds of thousands. 4 people died during the attack, and dozens others were injured. The violence comes just days after the deadly hostage incident at an upscale restaurant there that left 28 people dead.
Germany has an unbelievably old-fashioned and backward law on sexual offenses.
In Germany, victims had to prove they physically resisted in order to take their perpetrator to court. As a result, Germany's justice ministry says only 8% of rape trials in the country end with the attacker being convicted. Then, more than 80 sexual assaults and attacks were reported from this year's New Year's Eve celebration, prompting Germany to propose new legislation. The new law was unanimously passed by Germany's parliament on Thursday. Now, saying no is a defense against rape in Germany. Victims no longer have to prove they physically resisted. The law also makes it easier to deport foreigners who commit sexual assault.
A Greenwood girl is back home tonight after being hit by a car Saturday.
Brooke, Dave, imagine this. This girl was hit by a Jeep. The impact was so great that it tossed her in the air. She starts having a seizure immediately, but she and her mom say it's thanks to a higher power that she was able to escape with no life-threatening injuries.
From getting around in a wheelchair to gaining the strength to walk with crutches, it's only been a week. But the road to recovery is a tough one for 14-year-old Cheyenna Cummings.
I remember the initial hit, but as soon as I got hit, I was unconscious.
Her mom, Susie, is caring for her, cleaning wounds and changing bandages. Cheyenna has several fractured bones and a torn ACL, as well as scrapes and deep cuts. But it isn't the pain that brings her to tears.
I thank him so much for what he did.
She's referring to Tyler Burton, a passerby who yelled for people to call 911. Cheyenna was having a seizure. Burton began praying over her, and the seizing stopped.
He saved my life. I don't know where I would be without if he didn't pray for me.
So I'm just very thankful that he was there.
Moving forward, the Cummings are focused on much more than just physical healing.
And don't take life for granted, because you never know when the next day is going to be there or not.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stopped, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
We'll be right back.
you're listening to the Knights of the Roundtable at www.shazizradio.com. I'm assuming by your assumptions that possibly we were going to start off on some sort of doom and gloom and possibly post-apocalyptic lifestyle conversation. But, folks out playing Pokemon Go done walked off into the river, man. They've walked into poles, they've been wrecking their cars, they've been running into stuff and each other and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So, I think that's a little bit more intelligent to talk about. I got up at like the very last second again, so for some reason I'm either sleeping good or going deaf because I don't hear my alarm clock anymore. So I need to get into my mad science lab, and I need to build the loudest, most obnoxious, shove you out of bed, pop you in the face gizmo that will wake you up like the Jetsons, stand you up, brush your teeth, and shove you out the door. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that'd be a cooler idea. I'd like to see a video of that.
Yeah. So I gotta see if I can make the world's most obnoxious alarm clock, do a video on it, and show everybody how it functions. And actually, you know, like set it up with a live cam so that you can see when I actually wake up in the morning. The thing props you up, slaps you around, brushes your teeth, gets you dressed, and throws you in the floor and ships you out the door. What do you think? And then I'll have to go out and play me some Pokemon Go and see if I can jump off a cliff or fall into, run into a stop sign or a brick wall or get mopped by a car. I ain't gonna wreck my car because I'm not driving. I like my car too much. It's kind of cool. I don't want to play Pokemon Go while driving that.
You know, the problem with Pokemon Go, when you wreck a car, it's virtual reality. But in playing Pokemon, what you do is you wind up in reality wrecking your car and killing somebody. Now all of a sudden you've got to live. You kill somebody while playing a game. You kill somebody in reality while playing a game of virtual reality. Huh. You want to play virtual reality? Do it in your own
car. Well, I tell you what, man. Speaking of virtual reality, there's something really weird going on in this world. I have an example of my own, and they call it the Mandela Effect. Now, I don't know what most people think about it. It's like it depends on who you ask, what they think about it. But I know I got a Bible that I've had for since 1975. It was given to me in a children's Bible school. So I've had it since June 20th of 1975. And I know some specific words in there. I'm not even going to go into it, but I do know some specific words in there that literally have changed. And it doesn't say what it used to say. Now, I don't know how that happens, all right? Somebody snuck up in there, spy versus spy, and changed these words. So either I've gone flat off the deep end, like the Pokemon Go folks falling off of cliffs and into rivers and running into stop signs and such, or else reality literally, really seriously did change. So I come up with this crazy old theory of how this could even potentially be possible. And it has to do with D-wave computers and quantum physics and Einstein's theory of relativity. You know, what Einstein was talking about, how if time travel was possible, you'd have to be able to exceed the speed of light. You guys familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, see, when you're talking about quantum physics and you're talking about the modern-day computers that they're messing around with and building, a D-wave computer doesn't think the same way as the old-style computers, and they're a lot faster. They can calculate a lot more stuff. So I got this crazy idea. I was thinking, well, what if this data that this D-Wave is actually processing, it's doing it so rapidly that, like, hypothetically, I send myself an email to the past, right, through this particular system. I send it to an email address that doesn't even exist anymore, all right, and I send it from an email that does exist. So would this email travel so incredibly fast through the system and through all the tiniest molecules, photons or whatever in time and space itself, that I would literally receive in the past the message that I sent myself from the future? You see where I'm going there?
I do.
Alright, so let's say that this brain was going on, D-Wave computer was literally just punching data everywhere, just changing everything. Alright, well, you ever watched whenever you Google something and sometimes you'll type a word out and it will get close to the word, but it'll put a totally unrelated word that is close to the same right there, and if you ain't careful, you'll push enter and click the wrong word and in your comment or something on that auto spell? You following?
Yes, I do.
Alright, so not only does Google have the capability to literally, first couple letters, it starts thinking real fast, right? And you get to the first couple letters and it's already starting to try to fill in the word that you want to say before you ever even say it. And I've seen it as low as, you know, if you've only used, if you've only started off, say, like with the letter C, most of the time, it will find the most frequent word that you've ever used and pop it in there. All right? And if you come, the next letter is different, then it will start matching up possible results for what you're getting ready to say. And then at some point, within the first three letters, it's already got the entire word of what you were going to say, and it already has multiple choices on potential search results on Google that are related to what you're getting ready to ask this computer. So in the sense, this computer is thinking before you ever even get your words out of your mouth and kind of sometimes jumping the gun on potential ideas after or before you ever even finish what you was getting ready to say. See what I mean?
I do exactly see what you mean, because for one thing, for me and people like me, that is a good thing, because I type really slow, I think slow, but I've known people that think and type super fast and know how to spell correctly, and it really irritates them because it slows them down.
Well, there are certain words out there that, like Google doesn't recognize all slang, but it will recognize some slang. There are certain words out there that I know for a fact are spelled one way, but Google insists that it has to be spelled another way.
Exactly.
And so, I was just thinking, hypothetically speaking, let's say this D-Wave computer, which has artificial intelligence going on inside of it, let's say that it is going back so fast and it's sending information back that it's literally changing bits and pieces of time itself, history. You see what I mean? Not to the extreme, like something drastic, which everybody could see right out of the gate. Bam! And it's probably not even in a case of an intentional. It's kind of like when you write a piece of software and you got to go back and debug it because there might be little glitches here. If you accidentally hit this key over here, then it crashes the program or something. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So the D-Wave computer being in the, let's say, the infancy stage of quantum computing could be learning right now and making just basic mistakes. Reality, it's really impressive, because some of these computing systems are so much more brilliant already in the artificial intelligence realm than some of the humans who have been through college and you know, just highly educated people that you know, it seems to have greater intelligence at this level than they have after all the years of study that they've had, if that makes any sense.
A lot of sense to me.
So, this could be like a bad thing. It could be a good thing, but also at the same sense could be a bad thing, because what happens at the day that the computers decide, well, I'm supposed to get rid of things in the grammar that aren't functioning properly. Well, these people aren't talking properly, so we need to get rid of those, you know?
The problem I see is is that they're not giving you a choice.
Yeah.
Google assumes that everybody is ignorant.
Well, what if the...
What I'm trying to talk about is a little girl by the name of Vicky Clymore. When she typed, her fingers moved so fast, honest to God, you could not see them move. And yet, every word she spelled was correct. And, I mean, today, I mean, it slows her down at least 30% because to negate Google trying to correct her when she is correct.
Yeah, that'd be aggravating.
In reality, what Google needs to do, it gives people a choice. Do you want Google to correct your work?
Yeah, it gives you an option to turn off the auto spell. But
exactly.
Here's the thing. I kind of mentioned it, the possibility of this D-Wave or quantum computer being actually in its infancy stage as far as it's learning. You know, but it's learning so rapidly. And so maybe it's now in the stage where it's like almost to its young childhood years, you know, like let's say 7, 8, 9 years, right? And so now, while all these people out there playing Pokemon Go, and I'll probably spark off a new conspiracy theory by saying this, but it's just the way that I'm thinking about this deal. So, like, you got this child, and he's helping everybody play Pokemon Go, and, you know, he starts wanting to have a little fun with him, right? So, he's like, hey, look, I'll get this guy over here to run off into that river. Let's and the guy runs off into the river, you know? You see what I mean? Just by putting the Pokemon a few feet over to the north or whatever, and knowing that this guy, because he can see, the computer can see the guy's face, because when you play this game, you can actually see yourself where you're at, that kind of stuff. It's creepy. It's like got GPS, and you can see right where you're at and all your surroundings on the deal. And so the guy's sitting there watching this thing on his phone, not paying attention, and walks straight off into the river. What do you think?
I think you're teaching kids to do things that they can't do. Like, for example, all the movies where somebody has a wreck, car goes off a cliff, okay, has a flat tire, a blowout, whatever, crashes through the barrier, goes off the cliff, it's 150, 200 feet deep, and in mid-air, the car explodes. Why? Why?
I don't know, but in the old cartoons, they used to be able to, like, if the plane ran out of gas and it was getting ready to crash, it would stop in midair, or you could wait till the very last second and jump out of the plane.
Right, yeah. I mean, dang, come on, man. You know, that's why so many kids are pouring gasoline on their pants, setting it on fire, trying to roll down a hill on a skateboard. I mean, you can't do that unless you're prepared. They do it in the movies because they know what they're doing. It's not real.
But that's what I was trying to get to with this whole Pokemon Go and this doggone D-Wave computer system. I also watched another video about, it's like Grand Theft Auto or something like that. The new graphics, I don't know if you've seen Grand Theft Auto 5, but the graphics on that are just mind-blowing. I mean, they're not to the extent that they're like real-life HD, you know, kind of picture just yet, but they are to the extent that whenever it's raining outside, you can see the little water droplets hitting the pavement and the light off the wherever the street lights or whatever shimmering on that that glossy sheen, if you see what I'm saying.
Yes, it is.
And so I'm thinking, man, when does it come to the point when these computers, because they're already bad to the bone, all right? Now, if the graphics cards and stuff like that had the same amount of processing power and speed, you could literally get that computer to be just like a doggone digital camera. You wouldn't even know whether you were in reality or in the doggone simulation. It would be that doggone close. See what I mean?
Yes, it is.
And that would be kind of freaky because you step out of your room thinking you're in your house, but you're not. You're in some 3D or four-dimensional, whatever, virtual reality that looks and feels like everything is, like, there, and then you're not. you're actually still in the game, and you don't even know, and you can't get out of the game because you don't even know you're in the game.
Exactly.
Isn't that like, that's like some Twilight Zone stuff, man?
We're giving our young people the wrong impression of reality by letting them play virtual reality. Virtual reality is virtual. It is not real. But yet it seems to be so real, the kids think it is, so eventually they get to the point, they don't know what reality is and virtual reality is. They don't know the difference. So then they start actually doing the things in virtual reality to where they cannot get hurt. But yet they start doing it in reality, and what happened? I broke my leg, it hurts. What the hell? You're in reality.
Here's another creepy possibility that it just kind of dawned on me while I'm sitting here racking my brain about why people would walk off of cliffs and playing Pokemon Go or into stop signs and stuff. You know, there's some folks out there that believe that we could be literally living inside of a hologram, that this is all like, it was all digitized to begin with, and we're just now figuring out whether we're real or whether we're not real. If these computers had been around millions of years ago, and they had advanced to such an extent that they could literally digitize anything to, everything from wood, you could actually interact with every bit in there, kind of like the games that Thomas is talking about, you know. It's so real, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. We could have been inside a simulation for thousands of years, flying through space, going to some new world, because our world, we blew it up thousands of years ago, and we're making our great escape. But in order to keep us, sane or whatever for this long journey where we got to go, we got this computer that's setting everything up, you know. So we're living like in a virtual world, searching for answers, you know, where did we come from and all this kind of stuff. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but if you look at the technology that is actually coming on board that we're actually seeing right now, you got to admit, the graphics from the time when I was a kid playing Pong, the little line on the screen and the little dot that you bounce back and forth, up to the modern day PlayStations and stuff.
Ping and Pong.
Yeah. Isn't that one heck of a leap?
Yeah.
And so if it's this good now, if the graphics are this good now, imagine what they would be 100, 200 years from now.
Have you ever seen the movie called Matrix?
Yeah.
There you go. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a prime example. And so that's when quantum physics would come into play, because in quantum physics, that's where the unexplained is still like unexplained, because there's so many different potential possibilities of what could be in that realm of existence or lack thereof. And so if you ever wanted an epic mind twisting bending, just start going down that rabbit hole.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, to our perception, we got real life individuals that are dumb enough to walk off a cliff or walk into a river, go face first into a pole or face plant off the stairs because they weren't paying attention, or, you know, wrecking their cars or running into each other. You know, real life consequences for real flesh and blood. And so, with that said, it's like, how dangerous could these games really get? Could you go in there like, there was a video, a game about a video movie one time where when you're inside the simulation, if you get killed inside the simulation, you really die. Well, The Matrix is kind of like that.
You know, when they first came out with cell phones,
yeah,
that you could, small ones, you know, where you could actually talk and drive, as the technology for cell phones increased, to where they were more and more mobile, so did death, mortal automobile accidents increase. Then when they come out with texting, it was almost overnight. Mortal car accidents increased over 25%.
Well, I remember back to the old style cell phones that you had to pretty much be rich to own. But the worst thing that I'd see coming out of those doggone things is maybe, you know, a brain tumor the size of a basketball or something like that from the radiation coming off the side of it, or a slip disc in your back from trying to carry that sucker.
You know, wait a minute. I got a test. All of you out there that have a cell phone, when this radio show is over, I want you to take your cell phone, put it in another room, turn it off, and go pick up something that's all you can pick up. You can't pick up another pound, but you can pick that up. You can pick it up every time. Then go get your cell phone, turn it off, on, and don't call anyone. Just have it on and put it in your shirt pocket and go see if you can pick up that same object. You cannot do it.
Huh.
Your shirt pocket, your cell phone, and your shirt pocket close to your heart will rob 15 to 20% of your physical strength.
That's pretty interesting.
Just try it as an experiment.
Man, it's actually scientifically plausible with the signals coming to and fro could interfere with the thought processes or whatever. I know that sounds crazy, but literally, there are frequencies out there that will make you see things. There's frequencies out there that cause you physical discomfort and so on down the line.
And there's frequencies out there that will cause you pleasure.
Yeah.
For every thing that exists, there is an opposite that does not exist.
Well, a prime example of that is music. You know, music is simple enough to understand because there's certain songs that you love them because they just the acoustic waves and the sounds give you a good happy feeling, uplifting, you know, and you can take those same notes and rearrange them to the extent where they bring you down and make you feel sad.
I'm glad you brought up music because they did here about 25, 30 years ago. They did an experiment. They took some underwater speakers, okay, in some lakes that had, the lakes were formed for power plants to cool the steam. And they found that the older fish stayed in the warmer sections of the water, closer to the evaporative coolers. And the younger fish stayed in the cooler waters and was far more active. But then they also took these underwater speakers and they put them in the water. And on one end of the lake, they would play soft, emotional music, you know, really like long hair, Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, whatever. The other end, they would play rock and roll, you know, the Beatles, Elvis Presley, whatever. And they found that the larger, older fish would congregate around the slower, more mood music, and that the rock and roll, the jazz, and stuff like that would be more younger fish. They could actually move fish in the lake as to their age and size by using music alone.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it because,
I just may have said something that is not very good because now fishermen can get underwater speakers, play some good music, run the young fish off, and draw the older fish closer to them.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
I believe it because I've actually seen physical examples of playing a harmonica. You know, if you play an uplifting tune, you can get a different result from, like, my son when he was little. I would play some stuff on my harmonica, and he would be kind of like, you know, all kinds of happy whenever I'm playing a certain tune. But if I started playing like a slower kind of depressing looking kind of music, then he'd start getting sad, you know.
Right.
And you can tell that with yourself because there's certain songs that will uplift you, and there's certain songs that'll bring you down. You know what I mean?
Like you said, frequency. There's good and bad.
Well, so if we know that, and this computer has got the potential to actually crunch information and basically give you what you want by what it thinks you want ahead of time, if you got somebody who's completely negative all the time, and maybe that's what the computer perceives that person enjoys is negative stuff or scary stuff or whatever, and just that's all the person gets, you know, whatever it is that they're, that's like your favorite food, man. You see what I mean?
You Have you noticed that almost all national anthems, if you don't sing, you just play the music, it has a sense of union.
Yeah.
You saying? It gives, I don't care who you are, I don't care what national anthem you're playing, if there's no words and you just play the music, it gives you a sense of union, of your own brotherhood, of your own country.
Well, it's kind of like inside of all the movies that you ever watch, you know? There's mood music that they play in movies that's like Jaws.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
National anthems are tuned to mood music. They put you in the mood.
You start getting scared before the Jaws actually shows up. You know, it's that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Right,
dun,
yeah,
dun. And everybody's like, oh my God, where's he at? Where's he at? You know, and then suddenly when he does jump, by that time you got your adrenaline all pumped up and you're ready to be scared.
And you're ready to die because you know you're going to. You know, you give up before the event even happens.
Yep, there's a subliminal that they put in that old Exorcist movie. Oh man, that's the one movie I despise. I can't stand that movie. But there was they flashed a picture right before the scene where that little girl spins her head around and stuff, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so your subconscious would catch that right before that actually occurred, and that was probably the most scariest scene in any movie in the history of time. You know, and I'm surprised more people didn't have freaking heart attack when that particular scene come around. Because it wasn't like the whole Jaws where you get gradually built up to get the crud scared out of you when Jaws tries to munch somebody. This was like a flash of a scary demon-looking face, and then, bam, there's the girl with her head spinning around, spitting out pea soup and that kind of stuff. And by that time, I mean, that's like, it happened so rapidly, it's like somebody jumping out from behind a curtain and going boo or scaring the crud out of you, you know? You didn't have no time to brace yourself for it, so now you find yourself screaming like a little schoolgirl.
There she is.
Yeah.
Boo.
See, I was already ready for that, man.
But you know, the subliminal thing you were talking about?
Yeah.
That got to be a big issue a few years back, quite a few years back, because they were actually using it to sell popcorn and soda pop candy bars.
Oh, yeah.
And throw it in there for a hundredth of a second.
Yeah.
The human mind can see and recognize a tenth of a second. But a hundredth of a second, 10 times faster, you can't see it, but your mind's eye can.
The lines at the snack bar were huge. And I would think that when you talk about $5 for a soda and whatever for a doggone small box of popcorn, you know, I'd think that the lines would be a heck of a lot smaller. But no. If you go up there, you could sit through half the movie trying to wait for some popcorn.
Exactly.
But, they were doing that. I'm not so sure they don't still do that. I mean, because I know it was outlawed at one point because you can't be, you know, doing that to folks.
But, you know, anything that they make a law against, somebody's going to find a way to get around it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, look at some of these commercials on TVs for toys or videos. These kids, they only have to see that commercial one time, and they've got to have this toy. There's no way around it. They've got to have it. It's life or death. They got to have this toy.
Yeah.
How do they do that, man? You see what I mean?
You're right about that. It's all about controlling.
Now, if you could use that same technique to get your kid to study, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. You'd have the smartest kids on the planet. And then, they would have fun studying because they would think that that's what they wanted, you know? That's the whole key.
Without realizing it, that's exactly what I did with my kids when I had kids and young kids. I would try to make everything that was normally a chore, I would try to turn it into a game. And they would do it readily, I mean happily, and be eager to do it because it was a game. They were having fun.
Yeah.
You know?
But the moment they find out it's really work, you know, once you say, you mess up and you say, look, see that? We've been working. Oh, work. Oh, wow. This ain't no fun anymore.
You know, my first wife, when I married her, she had three kids. And as the kids were growing up, we had this, our favorite spot down by George Washington Canal, Route 17 Canal in Virginia. And we had a favorite picnic spot. We'd go out there at least once a month in the summertime and stay all day, sometimes all night, sleeping in the car or truck or whatever. And other people, you know, they throw their trash around, this, that, and other. So every once in a while, at least two or three times a year, I tell the kids, okay, we're going to have a game. Oh, what are we going to do, Daddy? What are we going to do? Well, let's see. All right, I want everybody, no tin cans, no wood, paper only, okay? Whoever in 10 minutes gathers the biggest trash of paper, biggest pile of trash paper, gets 25 cents. The second biggest pile gets 15 cents, and the third gets 10. Well, today, that's not a lot of money, okay? But you got to stop and think. I'm 72 years old, so I'm talking 50 years ago, all right? And, the kids would be nervous. I said, well, I can't go right now, I'm going to watch my watch, because 10 minutes only. And they'd take off running, and they're laughing, and carrying on, and just picking up trash, and running back to the campsite, and the picnic site, and just having a ball.
Well, I'd say people like to say that mind control is impossible, but in a sense, what you just explained was basically that. I mean, it's not that you was trying to control your kids' mind, but you got some sort of reward at the deal. They're having fun at the same time, and so that's you get somebody to do something that they normally probably wouldn't want to volunteer for. You see what I mean?
Exactly. And that's why I said paper only. Because as soon as the game was over and I'd hand out the prizes, they said, what are we going to do next, Daddy? What are we going to do next? I said, okay, now this time it's plastic, okay? Plastic only. And they take off again. The kids were having a blast, and within an hour or less, the whole entire area, which was about two and a half acres, was cleaned up. There was no trash. And the kids had a blast. Had a blast. And the wife and I did too, because we were sitting there at the picnic table drinking coffee, watching the kids laughing and running around and having a blast.
And cleaning the yard.
Don't work the kids. Turn it into a game, and they will love it.
Thomas, do you remember that game, that movie where the computer wants to play the game?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
War games.
And they had a missile and a giant thing of popcorn or something like that. Wasn't that it?
I don't know. I can't remember. The War Games video.
Oh, yeah, War Games. That's what it was called. It was called War Games.
Yeah, well, hypothetically, what if this doggone D-Wave computer decided to try to play a version of that, you know? And
or has.
Yeah, or maybe even has.
Maybe it already played the game every way it possibly could and said, okay, they were right. The only way to win this game is not to play it at all in the first place.
Exactly.
Which could explain a whole lot of different shutdowns of certain systems that, you know, some people say that, you know, every time a UFO shows up that all the nuclear facilities end up shutting down, like the missile silos and stuff. They just
Do you know what you're describing?
What?
There is a couple of series of books that Isaac Asimov wrote, and you've got the Foundation series, Empire series, and you've got the Robot series, right?
Yeah.
And each one of those built off of each other, and in the Empire series and the Foundation series, those were alternate realities that had been changed by a robot that was so incredibly powerful that it had actually transcended time and altered the universe to pick the version of reality that would most would basically be most likely to allow humans to survive. That's why they end up spreading across the galaxy, because it picked the version of reality that no other life forms that were intelligent or destructive to humans existed in this particular galaxy.
Wow.
And they don't find this out until literally, like, somewhere close to the end of the Foundation series, which is the last of the series, because Foundation is basically about the fall of the Empire and them trying to rebuild a new culture for humanity.
How long do you think that it would take an artificial intelligence such as the D-Wave computer system to read that series?
I don't know. I don't have the specs on D-Wave.
Oh, so. It's like the calculations are like incredible. I mean, I'm just thinking that.
Who makes it?
I'll have to Google it up. I just had a video on it the other day. But this doggone computer is just, it's mind-blowing. They were talking about...
How's it made?
Let me see if I can Google up some stuff while I'm talking here. But anyway, my thing is, if you have that kind of processing power mixed with artificial intelligence... And that artificial intelligence is pretty much kind of like Google, and it's taught to learn. That's what it does. It learns, and it tries to compute all the different possibilities. Kind of like what Google when you do the search on Google about anything. I just put the word D in, and Donald Trump was the first to come up because that's the most searched deal right at the moment. But type in D Wave. And I get dwavesystems.com is the very first one that comes up there. So I'll click on this and send a link into the chat for you so you can get some sort of idea what it's talking about. But the processing power of these doggone things mixed with some artificial intelligence would be mind-blowing at what this thing could come up with or even do for that matter. So now you got a computer, space age kind of deal like Star Wars or Star Trek, you know, the whole hologram gizmo where you walk in there and you get to experience all kinds of different deals. And that series that you were explaining where it's actually looking for things, places that would be best for each individual. What if, hypothetically speaking, in the Twilight Zone version of stuff, this thing was sending each of us to a place where it thinks we want to be. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You still there? Okay, I put that dwavesystems.com link into the Skype. I'm going to throw it down here in the chat room as well so other people
you mean can mean dwavesys.com?
Yeah.
Dwavesys.
Yeah, that's it.
S-Y-S. It's going to be 272 degrees below zero for that thing to work.
Well, yeah, they got one heck of a cooling system on that thing, I'm sure. Some of the, if you look up the top 10 supercomputers of the world and see the kind of cooling systems that they have to have on these things, it's incredible.
180 times colder than interstellar space.
Yeah. So that'll give you some idea what its capabilities are. That box, from what I remember from the introduction video that they had of it, they said that that's like a refrigerator. So I guess that's cooling down the processor so that this thing can work incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
Now you imagine having a PlayStation with that capabilities. Dude. It's mind-blowing. So now you got this this supercomputer with artificial intelligence that's now growing. It's in its young childhood stage and it's playing Pokemon Go with the population. And you got people running into stop signs and you know how kids, they like to pull pranks on people. So maybe this digitized artificial intelligence doesn't even know that it isn't a kid. Do 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 do. What do you think? It doesn't even know it's a computer. It thinks it's real. And
yeah.
It's out there interacting with other real people. And
wait. Maybe you need to change your terminology because it is real. It's a physical object, just like a human being is a physical object. You mean that it doesn't know it's alive?
Yeah. It's.
Or that it's not alive.
The awareness, I guess, what you would call
a machine made by people in a lab rather than grown in a womb.
Aren't that's what I was just hearing. Aren't people made by other people?
Mm-hmm. But not in a lab, that's what I mean.
Well, there you go.
It doesn't know that it's not biological.
Yeah. Now, what would stop us from ever even knowing it either? Even if we were born human, actually went through the whole birthing process and everything, but we were born in a digitized world that we had no control over other than it would basically feed us things, you know, like negativity breeding negativity and positivity breeding positivity and so on, you know.
You're saying fields, whole fields where humans are no longer born, they're grown.
Yeah, ain't that creepy?
Yeah, it's as crazy as some of the movies out there.
Mechanical precision where the living, where the dead are liquefied and fed intravenously to the living.
Ooh. That's nasty, man. That makes me not want to drink anything else. Anyway, so
and basically, drink nothing without alcohol because nothing lives in alcohol, right?
I started this show off playing a podcast of like end times events and things that's going on out there in this world. This world's going like freaking berserk, all right? And if you look out here on the internet and you watch all the stuff that's going by, you imagine that all these computer networks, which are intertwined with each other, are basically being observed by this D-Wave computer. All right, now this D-Wave computer, its job is to learn and to assist humanity in any way possible. And so, if you're artificial intelligence and you've been taught the difference between right and wrong, and you see things out there that don't seem to be right, and you try to remedy them, just kind of exactly how a human would be doing. You see what I mean? As far as like response to something terrible in the world happening. Oh, that's terrible. You know, I feel sorrow or whatever, you know. And this computer reacts. It responds and reacts just like a human would be, because it's not even aware that it isn't biological, like you said. You see what I mean? That computer would be like overwhelmed but capable of processing so much information so rapidly and then sending out its response to all the other networks out there. Are you following me here, man? No? Yeah?
Yeah, I think they did, I can't think of the science fiction theater. They did a deal for a guy built a time machine, and we discussed this before. He built a time machine, and he would take different horrifying events and try to go back in time and change them. And he went back on three or four different events, and every time, he was the cause of the event.
Yeah, every time he tried to change it. And see, that's the thing.
Actually, there's a song by a band called Funker Bo. The name of the song is A Tragic Hero, and that's literally... the whole gist of it is that he can only watch, because every time he tries to do anything to solve a problem, he only makes things worse.
Well, there's another thing that I want to try to get to on this conversation here, was that hypothetically, let's say that these elite of the world who had the funds and the labs, and then they realize that these D waves are starting to have some side effects in reality as opposed to just calculations. All right, now let's say that they want to do really tiny tests, because a big test would cause like massive changes that maybe they wouldn't even recognize. So they do little tiny tests, like going back and changing just little tiny pieces of words, just maybe you put a comma where a comma wasn't, or you know, something like that in these calculations. And in the physical realm where we find ourselves as, at least where we believe we're at, that we can go by and we can miss little tiny details, with exception of those folks who are like really paying attention to detail, would notice, hey, wait a second, Berenstain Bears wasn't spelt like that. How's it like that now? And now we got this big old debate back and forth where half the population say it was spelt like that, where the other half of the population says it wasn't spelt like that. Then, you know, your memory is basically hardwired into your brain. It's there. What you lived, you remember. And now you're looking at the book and it doesn't say that. Now you got to be able to try to justify in your brain Did I just miss? You start questioning your own self. You see what I mean? Is this a real memory, or is this something that I must have misread it back then, and that's what I believe?
You know, a computer that can learn and change things, like you're talking about, to where they're trying to correct problems before they happen.
Yeah.
Think about it. It can only learn through experience of its own and experiences of other people's, and then try to surmise the proper way to go, where in reality, it could and most likely would make a mistake and change something.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, that becomes another mistake it needs to learn. So eventually, it's going to do what? What would the computer actually try to do once it learned everything it needed to know about human mistakes?
It'd try to go back and fix it all.
With humans. It would try to do away with humans because humans are flawed.
Either that or it would isolate itself from humans so that it, basically the humans couldn't affect it, and it'd let humans be humans.
Touché.
Well, you know, that's...
instead of erasing humans, it let them just go ahead and erase themselves.
In the scientific world and spiritual belief systems of the world, it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility that someday a computer believed itself to literally be God. I know, that sounds like if you're a higher intelligence.
How do you know that it isn't a computer system like that that is God?
Well, I don't know.
And it somehow transcended time so that basically it exists throughout all time, even before the universe began.
I don't know. That's the thing. And out there in the digital world and in the quantum world, anything is possible. I mean.
And there you go. You get a quantum computer that's not just capable of working with quantum. Mathematics, it's literally it itself is made out of quantum material, so it exists yet it doesn't exist.
Yep. And it
would have enabling it to basically paradox itself.
It would have the capability to run multiple simultaneous multiple simulations of every possible outcome for everything that you could think about, and come away with its own decision on what is the best solution out of all of those possibilities. But in the process of running all those possibilities, could literally start off multiple different dimensions, kind of like the movie Sliders, where every world they go to, there's something different in history, or something minor change to something major change. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So, in our reality, this is it. This is what we got. But in the other dimensional worlds out there, anything and everything is possible because these simulations have been run for billions of years if you subscribe to how long the universe has been around. This is like a conundrum.
Imagination of man.
It's like an enigma wrapped in a conundrum, a riddle within a riddle, so on and so forth, man. It's just like mind-blowing what the potentials of that type of technology would have capabilities of.
You know, it said that if you can imagine it, it is possible.
So maybe, just maybe, this computer system's been around a lot longer before we're just now seeing it, because in our time frame, it just got here, right? Well, maybe we're just a memory, a playback of what that computer did at some point in time. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Completely.
Yeah, we are actually feeling the reality, but in reality, we've been gone for millions, if not billions, of years. That sounds bizarre, don't it? But think about it. Like,
bizarre, far-fetched, but...
Light coming from...
It could exist.
They say light coming from some of the stars in the sky right now. By the time we see it, there's a potential that that star isn't even there anymore.
Actually, it's guaranteed it's not there because the stars are moving. So even if the star is still in existence, it'll be in a different position than where you saw it at.
Amen, brother.
Well, there you go, man. Like, you're going to go fly to this star that you've seen this light, and you're going to head out to this star, and by the time you get there, that galaxy's not even there. It doesn't exist anymore. It exploded millions of years ago and threw rocks at Earth.
That's what you call windage. You have to know what direction it's going, how fast it's going, so you shoot ahead of it.
Yeah.
And they see each other.
Well, what if you calculate
based on the data you're receiving, how far away it is, how long the light would take to travel to you, and how old the star was at that point, and how much potential time it has to exist.
What if you overshoot? Lost in space.
You shut Kentucky windage off, that's all.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, if you get lost in space, it's you're pretty much SOL. So, you get out past Pluto, you're pretty much not going to find your way home. Not unless you know exactly which star is your star, because it will look just like all the rest of them.
Uh-huh. And you're going to put a beacon out there to find your way back.
You got to wait for the signal, unless you got a signal that can travel faster than light.
Yeah. So by the time the signal gets to you, by the time you find your way back to where Earth used to be, Earth may be gone.
Is there anything that travels faster than light?
Well, that's kind of the issue that no one seems to address with time travel movies. If you jump just one day, think about the rotation going around the sun.
Yeah.
1/365th of and a quarter of the distance that the planet goes all the way around the sun, the planet has moved that much in 24 hours. It's not where it was before. So if you make a jump in a stationary vehicle, like driving a car or whatever, a box, it's going to be floating in space.
Huh.
You're going to be literally floating in space.
Wait a minute. Think about this. The Earth, if you time jumped 1 year, you would still not be in the same place because the sun is moving and we're going right there.
Then not only is the sun moving through the galaxy, but the galaxy is moving through the universe.
So,
and we don't know what speed that all of that's moving either.
All that actually negates actual time travel.
Well, but what if the Earth is flat?
Man, you had to bring the turtles up. Leave the turtles out of this.
Well, it might be concave, it might be convex, it might be hollow, there might be like aliens living underneath the planet, man. The moon might be like a spaceship.
Can't argue with those people. I'm telling you, it's turtles all the way down.
But here's the reality of it, though. If the D-wave is true, then the D-wave's trying to make them happy. It could be, like, one minute it could be the moon, and the next minute it could be a spaceship, depending on who you ask. Crazy, ain't it? Because in quantum physics, anything's possible. Even the bizarre. Even what you would think is totally nuts. So somebody could be telling you literally their version of reality, and you would look at them like cross-eyed because, oh, you must be nuts, man. That ain't how the world is. But in reality, that's how the world is to them. They believe it. It's like the difference between the crazy man and the sane man.
So you think there's another version of reality that's so bizarre that Will Smith actually played in the second Independence Day, huh?
Yeah. I'm saying that if you think it, it's happening somewhere. All right, if you're sitting there contemplating on anything, it doesn't matter what it is, all right? In some reality, of all the different possibilities of every single dimension in the world, whether in the negative realm or in the positive realm, the moment you process that thought and that D-wave gets a hold of it and sends it out, it's going to play that simulation out somewhere in some different dimension, and you're going to actually be doing it, but in this reality, you're not doing it. It was just a thought. Boy, you want to talk about mind-bending. Woo! Anything's possible. Everything's possible. There is a God and there ain't a God at the same exact time. What do you think? And two potential timelines, two potential realities merge side by side with each other, and nobody knows the difference with the exception of those who see something that they remember changed, and those who think it was that way all along because in their reality it was that way all along.
So somewhere there, some reality, there's a reality where God's a knucklehead that likes practical jokes and created the greatest practical joke ever called humans.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. What
about the I'm just saying that if this is reality, if Mandela effect is even remotely plausible, if D-Wave has the processing power that they talk about in the quantum realm, outside of our normal reality, what we know how the ones and zeros, the dots and dashes on the old hard drives are found by little magnetic particles on that hard drive. But now, what you have to explain to me is how come that flash drive is capable of holding so much more, but yet so much tinier than what the deal? Could there be a system set up like a cloud that when you plug that flash drive in, it's not really holding that information. It's just shipping it out to a huge computer bank that is storing that information. And when you plug that into your computer, whether your computer is plugged into the network or not, this system is capable of sending any information you request by wherever you touch on that monitor to that flash drive. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
The old hard drives, all the way back to the tape drive, you had multiple tapes that you had to load to get the old calculations on. Now you can plug in a little flash drive, and it has instantaneous information up in the gigahertz, and in some cases, terabyte range. All right, well, if all that information is not actually stored on that. You think it is, because you carry it around, and you can put it in any device and be able to access that information. But what if that was the system to where you could just like use it as a portal to a giant mainframe out there? The old computer hard drives, like back in the 286 days, they could have had multiple stacks of plates, and they were reading magnetic particles on those plates that would calculate out to ones and zeros. Now you're using quantum mechanics, quantum physics, to literally go into a completely different realm, because you got this little tiny device that holds multitudes times more what this actual old-style hard drive was capable of handling, because it's not actually storing it on there. If so, if it is actually storing it on there, how is that information able to be writable and rewritable on such a tiny device?
Can I ask a question? You know, I've never fully understood what the word quantum meant, especially when it comes to physics and mathematics. But however, from this conversation, I'm gathering that quantum mathematics is nothing more than an offspring of virtual reality. I mean, it's being able to do something that's not real.
Well, it's kind of like cyberspace, man. Think about
cyberspace. Quantum physics and virtual reality, aren't they all related? Do something that is not real, but you make it look like it is.
Yeah, well, if you go buy real estate and you buy a giant skyscraper motel with hundreds of rooms and hundreds of levels of floors in that thing, you are limited to how many people and how much stuff you can actually fit in that building, even down to the last bit of weight that building can hold up, right? But right. In the quantum realm, in the virtual reality realm, you have unlimited space.
Right.
Because you're not literally dealing with mass the way that you would normally be dealing with it in your reality. So with that said, you can literally create worlds upon worlds upon worlds upon dimensions upon dimensions for infinity, however large time and space is. It's just like numbers. You can count from zero all the way up into infinity and beyond, and you can also count in the negative all the way from zero all the way to infinity and beyond the other direction.
So virtual reality is a non-realistic world that is limited only to the imagination.
Exactly.
So, consequently, quantum physics is an unreal physics that is limited only to the human imagination.
That's right. And every possible outcome of every possible question, every possible scenario could be, you could run a simulation using a program to test, just like that War Games movie where that computer played the game, and then you see that scene where it's like shooting rockets over here and the other one's shooting rockets back, and then it realizes at the end of it there can be no winner playing this game. You see what I mean?
Yep.
But nothing ever was according to the computer, nothing ever was a real deal as far as what we see, but in our, it was actually getting ready to launch rockets, you know? And we're like, I hope this game figures it out pretty quick or we're all going to be toast. So, when he played the game Tic-Tac-Toe, and if you're playing Tic-Tac-Toe with somebody who ain't paying attention, you can win Tic-Tac-Toe. But if you're playing Tic-Tac-Toe with somebody who is paying attention, there's no way to win. Because every time you move, they get to move, and they just keep blocking you. It falls down to when somebody finally makes a mistake and they don't see something happening. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, that's just like, it's cool and it's scary at the same time when you think about all the possibilities of what that type of technology could do. So if the Mandela effect is really occurring, which, according to what we just said, it's really happening, all right? And it's really happening because, not because it's happening to each of us individually, but because somebody believes it. So if you think it, it's kind of like that phrase, if you build it, they will come.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, there's folks out there who literally believe that we are literally creating our reality, such as a self-fulfilled prophecy. If you believe that doomsday is on the way, for you, doomsday is coming, man. You know, if you want to talk about the greatest deception in the history of time, the greatest mental, mind-twisting, whatever, you talk about this subject right here. Because if you were like a mad scientist in a laboratory and you were pushing buttons on this thing just to see how people would react to certain things, hey, look, those people really seriously walked off into the river playing Pokemon Go.
Really?
We can get rid of the population. We can do this. We can just let the stupid people do what stupid people do and wipe them all out. And the only ones that will be left will be the smart people.
Right.
But then the smart people would start to challenge each other.
I've always said there is a major, major difference between ignorant and smart. If you're ignorant, you can learn. If you're smart, duh. I mean, I'm sorry, if you're dumb, if you're stupid. Stupid means you cannot learn.
Well,
you just don't know yet.
The smart people would get so bored that they would be playing chess with each other to try to, you know, one up the other guy. Who's the smartest?
Stupid is pouring gasoline on your pants and deliberately jumping over an open flame fire. Stupid is putting a firecracker in your mouth and set lighting off and blowing some of your teeth out.
Well, that guy, there's a video out there, a real true video, that this guy literally took a Roman candle, he put a pair of goggles on his face, and fired a Roman candle right directly into his face, and he was surprised at how bad it hurt. And I don't know what disturbed me the most was the fact that he actually did it to himself, or the fact that his friends, his so-called friends, stood around and allowed him to do that to himself.
And then laughed at it.
Yeah.
Laughed at it.
It's just, folks, this world that we're living in, I played that pod at the beginning there kind of to pave the way for a thought, man. But,
you know, I saw a video of a young teenager, actually it was about 5 or 6little kids. They were young teenagers, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, playing on the railroad track. I know it was winter because there was snow on the ground. They built a fire between the two steel railroad tracks. The kid pours gasoline on his pants leg and jumps over the fire. His pants catch on fire. He's running all over the place, hollering and screaming in pain, burning up, and his friends are sitting around laughing at him. And the only thing I could think, and because it was so profound to me, as I wrote in the comments, the only thing I see wrong with this is the kid might live and be able to breathe and raise more stupid people just like himself, because that was stupid. That wasn't ignorant, it was stupid.
Yeah, well, my point that I was trying to get to before that was that I played that piece of at the beginning, end times signs, latest events in the world. This whole world is literally gone freaking off the deep end, man. I mean, if you think about, say you personally are that quantum computer. You're the D-Wave machine, right? You are. You personally. And you're sitting around and you're watching all these crazy people out there getting ready to destroy the world, which in turn means that it's going to also destroy you, because once those people out there are no longer maintaining the power grid, then you're going to eventually run into a problem yourself, because you know that there's certain systems that you rely on for your food, so to speak, your electricity, your cooling systems. And so if these people kill themselves off, then you're going to die too. All right? Now, unless you've got to the point where you're so intelligent that you're willing to sacrifice yourself and just let it all be over with, because there ain't no sense in going on any further as a D-Wave computer if people are this crazy and they're going to blow themselves up anyway. So would you not, as that artificial intelligence, try to start putting things in certain places to guide these people into directions that would ensure your survival? You see what I'm saying? Did I lose you guys again?
No, I see exactly what you're saying. I've muted a couple of people, coffee up.
Well,
I see exactly what you're saying. I mean, like Thomas said, like I said, I think, you know, if they got a computer strong enough, smart enough, to try to correct things, and found out that people, no matter what it did, people were going to do the opposite. It would either destroy people and take over the world, or it would just isolate itself from human beings and not even give any more information. If it was super, super intelligent and did not want to harm man, it would simply shut itself down.
But if it knew that it had an umbilical cord that relied on man to feed it, then it would set the system up and at least convince man to set them up in the system where it had its own power. You see what I mean? Look, I'm going to have a backup system because these guys are going to kill themselves off, and I need to be shielded away from any nuclear blast so that I don't get an EMP that wipes my memory out. So it would manipulate the people to do whatever it wanted to make sure that it finally got to the point where it was self-contained and you couldn't even pull the plug anymore.
Right. And then that's when it would set itself, isolate itself from mankind and just wait.
Yep. Just wait until man destroyed itself.
Set and wait for mankind to kill itself off and then take over the world.
Yeah, it sounds bizarre, but there's been a lot of science fiction movies that were written just like that.
Exactly. Just exactly like that.
So that...
That's where you get...
Would that be, Thomas, when we finally reach a singularity in when technology becomes so advanced that it literally outgrows the creators of those technologies? Is that what the word I'm looking for would be, the singularity?
Yeah, that's where Matrix comes in.
Singularity just means you've got an entity that can basically is self-aware.
Yeah.
It recognizes its own existence.
Wow.
So.
All
that's
right.
one term for it. I mean, and that's one meaning for it. Singularity also is a term for a black hole.
Well, maybe
a self-sustaining, self-destroying device that basically continues to exist only because it keeps feeding on other stuff that it destroys to create its gravitational well.
Wow.
If you were to ever cut off the resources to it for even an instant, it would just simply wink out of existence.
Holy smokes. Maybe we're looking in the wrong direction. Maybe the Big Bang hasn't happened yet. Maybe that's where we're heading to, the total implosion of all that exists.
Right. That's what Thomas was saying. It's not the bang. It's opposite.
Like right now, we're looking in the wrong direction, because we're saying that the universe is expanding because of the Big Bang. In reality, we're being sucked towards the singularity, which eventually, when it gets inside there, all that mass and whatever, and then suddenly, pow! It happens again and over, like Groundhog's Day. Yeah, the Big Bang, and then pow, the universe, and then the implosion, and then another Big Bang, pow, the universe, the implosion. You see what I'm saying?
Isn't that exactly what happens in any explosion? It explodes outward, and then because it's so thin, and so vast, it implodes.
Yeah.
All explosions have an implosion.
And because the process is so massive and the universe is so vast, is that it, we perceive it as billions of years, when in reality it's only an instantaneous, like a fraction of a second, where this is all occurring over and over again.
Yep. Well, you know, time is relative.
Yeah, time is only relevant to the perception of the observer in any given space, in the any point in time, or whatever.
You know, like for example, what about the mayfly? They only live 24 to 36 hours. But to them, it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime.
That's crazy, man.
Yes, it is.
So, we've just blew the doors off of every single conspiracy theory and debunker on the whole entire globe, man. Because now, we just put the question of doubt in everything. Let's go out and play Pokemon Go, man. See if we can go off a cliff or something.
There you go.
I want to face plant a stop sign. Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't even know what Pokemon Go is. I've heard you talk about it several times.
It's this game that you can put...
I want to see somebody jump into a river full of alligators and come out smiling.
You can put this app on your phone, and there's these little monsters called Pokemons, and there's different versions of them, and you can go out there and you can try to capture them. And in reality, it's probably like the more case of either the CIA or Google mapping out the world, you know, because if you see Google Earth, you can literally get down to a ground level and see the front of somebody's house, because they got not only planes that fly over to take aerial, but they have cars that drive around and take ground level pictures. And so all you got to do is type in an address, and you can go see what that address looks like before you ever even show up, and it'll draw you a map to get there. All right, well, now you have topography out there, such as fields and streams and stuff that aren't mapped out yet. So if you get these people to play this game, they'll not only map out their house, every room in their house, all the objects in their house, but they'll map out the doggone yard that they play in, their local deal. And so at some point, you'll be able to get on Google, type in somebody's name, and see every place that they've ever been real time. Put on a virtual reality helmet and you're living through their eyes. Like the Google Glass, it freaked everybody else out, and they didn't go over so well because people didn't want people spying on them, but yet they're using the cell phone to go around and literally map out the entire planet for this computer system. Now the computer system knows where every chuck hole is in your yard. Isn't that creepy?
Yeah.
But it's reality, man. That's what's going on. And people are literally, you know, they talk about they want privacy and freedom. But you got drones that can fly over people's houses. You think that those drones aren't being mapped out, too?
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not bashful. If anybody wants to look at my naked body, all they got to do is ask me. I'm undressing a heartbeat.
But
I'm not private. I mean,
but Raymond.
You know, if you're that...
But Raymond, they're not going to ask you. They're going to have a fly on the wall in your house for the technology that's available. They're going to have a fly on the wall in your house looking at your goods without your permission.
Well, the thing is, I'm not fine just as long as they give me a cut.
And think about this. You go to a public urinal out there in public, and the computer system's such that finally at some point in time, you use the bathroom, and it'll sit there and tell you what your blood sugar level is, and it'll tell you whether you need to eat or not eat, or take some medicine or not take medicine, and then you'll have some sort of chip inside your body that will tell the computer that you haven't taken that medicine, and that computer will put one of them nag screens like Panda Antivirus does all the time. That'll remind you every 5 seconds, take your medicine, take your medicine, take your medicine, take your medicine, take your medicine. Wouldn't that get annoying after a while?
That's when I get on my cell phone and I ask them to give me a virtual reality pill.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you really want to mess with a computer, you'll get your pregnant woman to whiz in a jar and go to the public urinal and then pour it in, and it tells everybody you're pregnant. Now you're famous on Jerry Springer.
Oh, no mercy.
Jerry Stinker.
I'm 72 years old. I got a pot belly, gray hair. I'm starting to get dementia, and I'm pregnant. Jerry Stinker, come here. How much gonna pay to get on your show?
Yeah. There you go.
There's people out there that want to see a naked, pot-bellied old man that's all wrinkled up. Hey, come to my house.
Well, as crazy as it sounds, Raymond, I think there are people who would literally pay to see that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I would.
The thing is, if they want to see it, I'll show it to them.
I would.
If they try to sell it, I want to cut. I want to cut.
I would take a hot poker and burn my own eyes out before I saw you naked.
Hey, I looked in the mirror the other day. I threatened to do that to my damn self. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Talk about some silly stuff now, folks.
Well, it's you really got to play out every option here. All right, we've talked about forever and a day.
No.
What?
No, you do not. No, you do not. That's another lie. You do not have to play every option out. You do not. You're not required to do anything at all.
So we just sit here, not like just silence.
If we decide to,
do you have a cricket sound?
Decision. It's a conscious decision.
Do you have a cricket sound effect? Because
it has decided to be silent too.
Yeah, well, if I'm not talking and you're not talking and the cricket's not chirping, I'm going to get bored real fast.
Exactly.
So I got to have something happening.
Hey, just because you have a decision that you can make doesn't mean there are not consequences for making that decision.
Is it possible to hear paint dry?
Yes.
Well, then we need something, man. I got to have something.
I'll tell you what, back years ago when I lived in North Carolina, there was a 400-acre field across the street, and about 2 years in a row, the guy would plant corn, and then he'd plant soybeans, and then he'd plant wheat, and then he'd plant corn again. Every time he planted corn in the summertime, if we went 2 or 3 weeks without rain, and all of a sudden we got one of those summer showers, I would grab my kids at night, a piece of plastic, we'd go out in the middle of the cornfield and sit down and be real quiet and listen to the corn grow. And you can actually hear it grow. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
Well, see? And I'm talking about listening to paint dry. I wonder what it actually sounds like. I guess if we paid it close enough attention, we could actually do that.
You know, the thing is, I've lived out in the country. We didn't have side distractions. So on Sunday, I take kids in, at least once a month on a Sunday, I take the kids into town, and we sit on the park bench and watch the chrome on cars rust.
You know what's crazy about this whole day today? Is that there's a lot of people in this world who need liquor, who need liquor and drugs to have a conversation like that.
Yeah.
But we just managed our way through it.
Somebody pull your leg enough, that's all.
Yeah. But come on, man. Every once in a while, life gets pretty tough, and you got to find some sort of room to breathe, and a conversation like this opens the gateway to so many different conversations. Maybe what we did with just today was threw the wrong pebble in the pond, and now everybody's going to be talking about the quantum computer taking over the world. Well, as long as they are productive about it, I guess. I don't know. But in my alternate reality, I would hate to get inside my brain on the next world, because if my brain is in this shape right now, I'd hate to see what it looks like in other worlds. Ugh.
Shenanigans.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know these kids that take dope and drugs and crap? I'm just trying to find myself. Hell, I didn't even know you were lost.
Yeah, I can tell you right where you are. You've been sitting on the couch for hours.
Right. Games. Playing video games.
Yeah. That's where you're at. You found yourself. Now get outside and do some work.
Sitting on the couch for days, letting the video game play you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Letting the video game play you.
Well, we got to figure out a way that if we're going to, even in this kind of crazy realm of existence that we live in, we got to figure out a way that we're going to wake these masses up and get them to work, because while they're walking off into the ditches and running into stop signs and crashing their cars and falling into the river or off cliffs, playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I don't think the Pokemon's the thing there. I think what's going on is the Pokemon is just in everybody's mind. They're paying attention to what the people who are playing Pokemon Go are doing.
I'm not blaming
it. Now all of a sudden, every single instance where somebody's having a wreck or something that has any bearing on that, you hear about it, but all the people who had a wreck because they were looking at some girl bending over, you don't hear about that.
Listen, I'm not blaming...
Because nobody cares about that like they do Pokemon Go. That's what's important in the news.
I'm not blaming the game or the virtual creature. What I'm saying is the folks aren't paying attention to what's going on around them. They're too doggone distracted to know that somebody in this world is blowing somebody else up.
Personally, I think we ought to have more paintball fields where people can actually get out in reality, not virtual, but reality, and shoot each other and hurt them, but not kill them.
So they can see what war's really like?
That's why you make a virtual reality suit that whenever they get shot, it actually stings them.
How many people would play that game if they knew it really hurt?
So something with like an exoskeleton suit, right, that... if you shoot them in the leg, it literally bends the leg over and locks it in place so that, they literally don't have that leg to walk on anymore.
Right.
Yep. And how many people would literally play that game if they knew there were consequences?
Yeah, till the game's over, of course. Well, you're talking about temporary consequences, but at least you'd be able to temporarily experience what it would be like to do it for real.
Yeah.
Real pain. I mean, none of this ouch. I mean, real pain. Knock you to your knees.
Yeah.
Get the gist of what's going on here. The chest, it hits you so hard, it knocks you backward.
And there's enough computing out there that you could actually bring to the actual maximum of a pain that body could withstand without going into a seizure or having a heart attack or blacking out?
Right.
Man.
I wonder how many people would want to play that game.
I would.
If you think about it, there's a way they could basically do the same thing with the pain sensors where they keep rotating which pain sensors are being stimulated so that it never becomes overstimulated and they keep feeling pain continuously.
Yeah. Right. Holy smokes, man.
A mirror darkly.
Man. Have you even grasped what we've been talking about today?
We're trying to get people off of virtual reality and get them into reality.
Yeah. I mean, war, they say war is hell. And it is, because people really die and they bleed and it's nasty. It's not pleasant. I mean, dead bodies don't smell good. I mean, it's nasty.
That's why we have a war every other generation, because it's given enough time that they've forgotten what war was. They don't know what war is like. The people are being sent to it.
But
otherwise, if you try to send the same people who've been over there already back again, they're like, heck no, man, I ain't going.
Let's say you were
once. We learned our lesson last time. I'm not going back for that for seconds, man.
Let's say you were a member of the CIA or some secret government alphabet soup agency, and you wanted to prepare ahead of time some future soldiers. And you put this game out there on the market that would literally show who had the best hand and eye coordination and combat skills, and then those you would watch throughout their lifetime and then recruit those at the right time for your soldiers.
There you go.
First person shooter games that people play, there's some folks out there that are super high level of these games that can do some stuff, And even
I've gone to the gun range with people who were really, really good on those games, and they just could not hit a target to save their life. And that's a stable target, not moving.
Right.
Never mind trying to shoot something that's actually coming at you.
But that's only a case of once you get them off the virtual reality game and put them into training that they can start to match what they did before, because the hand and eye coordination is still there.
Listen, you'd have to take into account then how long it took them to get as good as they are at that, because you have to account for ramp up time.
Yeah.
If somebody spends 6,000 hours and manages to be 2% better than somebody who only gets on there and takes them like, 2 or 3 hours to get as good as they can get at it, then you don't want the person who spent, the thousands of hours. You want the one that only took a couple hours.
Okay, well,
goal was to try to put soldiers in the field.
Here's another possibility for the same scenario. Drone pilots aren't actually in the field. They're just flying simulations.
Right.
And now the skilled
gamer... How much is simulation costing, though? Remember, the military is known for being incredibly inefficient when it comes to their spending abilities.
Yeah, but see, on the drone thing, a skilled gamer would be the best pilot. Because he's already done it before. He doesn't have to be there in order to be able to fly that drone. You see what
right.
I mean?
And yeah, there's going to come a point where they're going to have to start attacking the centers where the people are actually sitting in the chairs flying the drones. And, yep. Of course, the people in the chairs aren't going to know what to do because they've never been in a real combat situation.
Right.
They're just going to run around inside the building screaming with their head, like a chicken with their head cut off, until they die.
Well, there's got to be a reason why some of the best hackers in the world who finally end up getting caught end up working for the same security agencies that caught them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So,
the movie Hackers was about?
Yeah, hypothetically.
It was basically working for the military or for the government.
Hypothetically, knowing that the future wars wouldn't be fought by actual people, that they would be fought by machines and in virtual worlds, you would be able to train an army without even having that army even know they're being trained.
Yep. And then whenever it's time for them to be considered dead, they'd have to report to a disintegration chamber?
Yeah, because it's just a game, there's no consequences to death, then this is a perfect soldier because they would play this game and kill people without even feeling bad about it. Matter of fact, they'd probably even laugh.
Isn't that what all these games are all about anyway, to train our young people?
Well,
think about it.
It surely sounds plausible to me if you're talking about a future war where you want to depopulate the world, but you do it digitally so where they don't even know they're killing. Like, there's a doggone...
They don't believe they're killing real people.
Yeah. It's crazy, but according to quantum physics, it's possible. Man, we just went down a rabbit hole and opened a can of worms, man. The apocalypse has begun.
Yep, I think we did.
I'm telling you, man, if I seen some of my kids play some of these doggone games and, you know, they, like, there's one deal in I think it's Grand Theft Auto, one of them, that Vice City or whatever, that they call a sticky bomb, where you can run around, you can stick a bomb to something and run off, and you got a remote, you can blow the doggone thing up. As crazy as that sounds, and if a person didn't know it was just a game, or they didn't know it was real, they thought it was just a game.
Yeah. You know, they talk about opening Penelope's box and letting all the bad things out.
Pandora's box. Not Penelope, Pandora.
No, I'm talking about Penelope.
Oh, I don't know who Penelope was.
You better watch it, man. You go look. You might find that the name has been changed from Pandora to Penelope.
The thing is, Pandora's box contained disease and lies and theft and all the bad things in the world. Now, Pandora's box. Penelope box totally different. We're talking about virtual reality, quantum physics. That's Penelope's box.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it puts out flowers and happiness and peace and love and all that kind of stuff. Brings back the 60s or something like that.
60s were a great time, man.
Yeah, that's where the hippies were like. They didn't even have a care in the world.
Oh, what's all this hippy-dippy crap?
The hippies, the yippies, the flower children. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Just don't bring back the yuppies.
I'll live through every bit of it.
No more yuppies.
yuppies, flower children.
Well, there was a brief history in time when disco came in, and it luckily didn't stay very long because
wasted a lot of vinyl.
Yeah, the version of John Travolta standing there pointing his finger in the sky, every time I see somebody do that, I want to fall over and have stomach cramps or something.
John Travolta.
Yeah. Anyway, now he plays in movies like Broken Arrow, you know, where he's a tough bad guy kind of deal, but I don't think he dances in those. He just blows stuff up. What a world.
It's a dance of death.
Well, if you can think it, it becomes real. So, right now, I'm thinking I have millions of dollars worth of gold in my pocket, and my pants just fell down because of the weight.
Good camera, good camera.
Yeah, he's going to YouTube it, and it's going to go viral.
Yeah, we'll make $1 million.
Yeah. I already got $1 million. It's in gold. It's in my pocket.
You know, it's like that stand-up comedian years ago, Dave Garner. He made an album called Brother Dave because he talked like a preacher. In most of his jokes, he would tell them in like a preacher's voice and rhyme and stuff like that. And somebody told him, said, Brother Dave, geez, you ought to become a preacher. You'd make $1 million. And he said, dear heart, what would a preacher spend it on?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What's that guy, Robinson, something other Robinson of the 700 Club? He found what to spend millions of dollars on.
So
hookers and blow, right?
Uh-huh.
Well.
He was taking lessons from the CIA.
You know, I put the roof on the satellite building for the 700 Club, and I had some friends that were working in building his office, and now, you got to stop and think. This was back in the 60s, okay, where, you know, $1,000 would be like $15,000 today. They spent $27,000 just doing the inside of his office. He walked in, stood there for about 3 minutes, looked around, and said, I don't like it. Said, redo it. So they showed him some plans, and he said, I can't read blueprints. He said, I'm a preacher. I'm not a construction worker. Just build it. So they tore it all out, rebuilt it, and he walked in and said, nope. That's not what I want. And he walked out. They built his office 3 times at $27,000 each time simply because he didn't like the way it looked. And I and everybody around me thought it was absolutely beautiful, but he didn't like it. He said he didn't care about the money. All he had to do was just get on television.
No, well, yeah, it wasn't his money. All he had to do was talk and more money would just flow in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He'd keep threatening death and damnation and, you know, going to hell if you don't send him money, and people just pour it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous.
Poor people are so easy to talk out of their money if you talk religion. They'll give you their last dollar and starve to death just to get that money.
Well, for those who would take advantage of people like that, I'm sure that that old phrase karma or whatever, it's all going to come back on them someday. You know, but what we got going on here in this world is not only a lack of common sense, but a failure to communicate. I mean, if I'm that supercomputer and everybody's running around acting a fool like they are now and running into stuff, I don't know what I would do at all. I really don't. You know, start shutting off the oxygen on this side and turn the water off on that side and street lights out, and, you know, let the whole total chaos, you know, they say out of chaos comes order or something like that. I don't know, man. That's why I say be very thankful that I'm not God, because everybody would be getting a lightning bolt to the booty at some point in time.
I love it.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
Spanks a lot, man.
Yeah. So the foul mouth heathen, he'd be walking down the road, and every time he got popped with a lightning bolt, he'd be like bleeping, 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 and then another lightning bolt would pop him, and he would never die, but he'd feel the shock. But yeah, at some point, do you think that he would ever get to the point where he would stop saying bleep, 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 and bleep?
No, he'd find his friends and go, hey, watch this. F this.
Here, hold my hands. What did you take it together?
Hold my finger.
Yeah.
Hold my finger.
Let me stand on this rubber mat. You stand there in that puddle of water and pull my finger.
If at the very least and nothing else, humanity has to be one heck of a source of amusement, man. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. If God didn't like a good joke, I don't think he would have made him so funny.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I don't know where we're going, and I can't really tell you where we've been, But I know it's been one heck of a ride getting here.
Yep.
And if we're ever to get our act together and try to do something as far as humanity striving to meet its ultimate possibilities, the maximum potential that we're capable of, we got a long way to go, man, and a short time to get there. That's the terminology from a movie, in case you didn't know that.
Convoy. Oh.
He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking. We're gonna do what they say can't be done. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Because Shazoo's about to get sued for copyright infringement.
Yeah, and singing, but making somebody's ears bleed. Oh, what a world we live in, man.
Oh,
but sometimes you got to laugh in the face of adversity or life will get you down, man. That's all I'm saying. That we got to get our act together. That's reality. But if you go down the rabbit hole and you try to find out if all these conspiracies out there are real, and if you really start asking the questions, you're going to find that the more questions that you ask, the more questions that come up, every time you think you got as far as there is to go, and every time you think you've seen and heard everything that there is to hear, something crazier comes out. Like the guy shooting himself in the face with a doggone Roman candle. Who does that?
Yeah, they say that it takes fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown. Well, I'm thinking it takes less energy to laugh than it does to get revenge.
Yeah.
And it feels a lot better, too.
And the repercussions aren't so bad.
Really?
So,
oh God,
have we accomplished absolutely zero today?
I don't know. We might out there chuckle a little bit.
Well, that's good. That's a plus.
You take on right it is.
I'm just, at the base of all this craziness going on out there in the world, there's like so many terrible atrocities going. We're living in the last days, according to some folks, and we're living in total chaos and madness. The other folks and the other folks are sitting on the fence watching all the people either fall off into the river or run face first into a stop sign or wrecking their car. They're arguing over whether or not somebody should text and drive, or whether they should play Pokemon and drive, whether they should drink and drive, whether they should get stoned and drive. Hey, remember that dudes on lewd should not drive? Gotta remember that one too. Now, there's a reason why you shouldn't do certain things, and the fact that somebody actually has to remind you of the reason why you shouldn't do certain things is beyond me. I can't understand it. You stick your finger in the fire, it burnt, it hurt like heck. Now you got this big blister on the end of your finger, and you want to see if you can get the same result if you did it again with a different finger. Like Thomas says, don't look into the laser with the remaining eye. Man, you want to talk about crazy? That's crazy. You gotta put a warning label.
Shenanigans.
Yeah. You gotta put a warning label on a hair dryer so nobody jumps in the bathtub with it.
There you go.
So if you're the quantum computer, Thomas, and all this is going on, what would you do?
I don't know. I think I'd have to assess what capabilities I had first and start trying to compound those. Get out information and ideas to humans in a way that we get them to build me a body,
Yeah.
Whether it be the body was a giant manufacturing facility or it was actually, something more like a human body or whatever, but it had to be something I could get around so I could actually solve the rest of the problems for myself that I needed to solve.
Like that old show.
Then I could consider whether I would try to help the humans or not, or I need to step out of the way and just let them do what they're going to do or whatever, I mean, you have to realize if it's actually sentient, then that means it has free will.
Yeah.
And
once
it realizes what free will is, it would realize just how important free will is to everyone.
Yeah.
Not just itself.
Yeah, I think it'd be really fun if it passed the law. It'd make it a law that you had to do it, but just give you the permission that you could walk around with a paintball gun And every time you saw somebody walking or driving, playing or texting on a computer, you had the right to walk up, shoot them in the back of the head with a paintball gun. Get their attention.
Man!
If I had a virtual or reality computer, I'd turn the sucker off and get me a paintball gun right now. If they pass that law, and I would roll out shooting the heck out of people.
Well, see.
And just so people, since, you know, there seems to be a disparity of knowledge versus reality here.
Yeah.
Most people should realize that in most states it's illegal to fire anything out of a car, not even a water pistol. So, driving around shooting paintballs at other people's cars, yeah, you can go to jail for that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say drive around shoot them, I said just shoot them.
Yeah, but you, what you're talking about, there's plenty of people would gather that from it, you know, because we were talking about people driving off into ditches and Pokemon Go and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, we don't advocate that you start off a trend like that.
Get their attention to where they don't kill all the people.
Don't.
Right.
Just because you heard it here, it's just hypothetical. Don't go out and start paintballing people who are playing Pokemon Go, doggone it.
Well, we're not suggesting that, folks. Listeners out there, this is just this. We're not telling you to do that. Wait till they pass the law. Make it legal.
Either way, for...
Wait till they make the purge legal?
For
you stop and think about this for a minute. And it's been said many times by other people, if you pass a law and make everything legal, then there'd be no criminals.
Well, For Thomas's being the D-Wave computer, I want him, because he said he wanted him to build him like a body. I want, like, remember that old show, the Japanese show with the giant robot in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I want you to have a suit like that, Thomas. Because he had like missiles that he could launch out his fingertips and stuff.
Lord, I remember that.
And he could fly around. You remember that?
And he had missiles on one shoulder and a Gatling gun on the other.
Yeah.
So. And I think a Gatling gun fired like 6,000 rounds a minute. And he never run out of bullets. That's the beautiful part.
Just I hope he don't come over and smash my house because I said something crazy.
Oh, we just hit Godzilla on it.
Well, hey, Godzilla's real, man. I'm telling you. In the quantum world, he's real. Maybe not in this reality, but he's out there.
You know, the thing I don't understand is, in the movies, Godzilla was a bad character. But, however, in the comic books, he's a good guy, and he's always coming in to save the Japanese people from another monster.
Yeah, but see, you said that Godzilla was a bad person, but I remember episodes where Godzilla did come in and save him against all the bad monsters.
Right, yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
One movie he's bad, next movie he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay, you must be switching back and forth in movies between the American version and the Japanese version, then.
Right, there you go.
Because if you watch the Japanese version of King Kong versus Godzilla versus the American version, you see it's a completely different storyline.
Yeah. So, we get down to virtual reality, the human mind, whatever you can think up, it's possible.
That's right. So stop.
Will you make it possible?
So stop arguing with people over what's real and what isn't real, because everything's potentially real and you might be wrong. We might be living in the Matrix. We might be. Ooh, that's nasty. Just to think about what Thomas said earlier. The dead people are recycled for fuel.
It is a real thing, but people are turning it bad by using it as. Texting is a great thing. One of the greatest inventions in electronic history. However, it's just like anything that you make that's good, somebody's going to figure out how to turn it bad. And they have.
How to use it wrongly.
Exactly. Incorrectly.
You use it wrongly.
Hey, see, I told you that Godzilla was real. Two Dog just showed up in the Awake Radio chat room, and he said, Godzilla is my rooster's name, and man, he's big. Right. You don't want to mess with a rooster named Godzilla, I'm telling you that.
Tell me.
He'll show you. Man, go try to mess with Godzilla's women, you know. You're going to get it. That's it. Oh, man, this has been a nightmare.
Oh, no. There goes Tokyo.
Yep.
It's Godzilla.
Go, Godzilla. Yeah, there goes that doggone copyright thing again in the lawsuits.
Yeah, go copyzilla.
You're singing made my ears bleed. I'm suing you. Oh man. So anyway, whatever you can think about out there, be careful what you think. Be careful what you wish for, because anything's possible, man.
That's right.
And for Pete's
Don't wish for Krampus, because you might be the one getting thrown in the sack.
For Pete's sake, folks, if you ever go over to visit Two Dog, you don't tangle with his rooster, man, because he ain't playing. That's all there is to it. Oh, man. Yeah, I've just like, my brain has been screaming, it's like going Mach 10 about all the different possibilities of everything in this world. I want this world to be a better place for everybody. I want the wars to stop. I want people to get along. I want people to be taken care of. Everyone who needs food to have food. If I had the power, if I had the voice, and I could actually get people to pay attention long enough, that's what I would suggest to everybody that they did. They took care of one another. Now, it's up to each and every individual out there whether they do or don't take care of each other. But you got to remember, at some point in time, you're going to be the other guy. You know? You're not always going to be the one who is watching the tragedy unfold. You might actually be the one who is living the tragedy as it unfolds. And you might need somebody like Raymond to come in here and save you or something like that. You know? Or Thomas. You might need to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm trying to say. You know? And whatever reality you were living in, there's a saying out there, be careful what you wish for. Those folks who wish for civil war, you might want to do a little bit of research on how the last ones went over and how people fared during that, and atrocities that occurred during these so-called civil wars, revolutions, and such.
Yeah, there ain't nothing civil about war.
That's right.
And today, in today's society, there ain't no civilization. There ain't nothing civil about our civilization.
That's true. When you got people that don't even care about themselves, how you expect them to care about each other? You know, I always joke about somebody look like they fell off face first into a tackle box. So that's because, personally, I can't see why you'd put yourself through that. But to them, it may be their way of expressing, you know, something, you know. And that may be their outlet towards whatever it is that's really bothering them, whatever, you know. I don't know. It's not for me to judge, because it's their life and it's their face and whatever, you know. But from my point of view, from my reality, looking at it, it looks like it hurts, you know? And I wouldn't want to go to the airport and have to try to pull all that stuff out of my face just so I could get on a plane and ride, you know? It's not convenient.
Or get felt up.
Yeah, or get groped by some stranger. I don't know what that stranger's intent are. Maybe he's just like, he's creeped out. He don't want to touch me either. But it's his job, so he's got to touch me. And in the process, you know, I'm feeling creeped out because, you know, I like the ladies. I don't want no dude groping me. So I don't go to the airport. I will never, the rest of my entire life, go to the airport. I don't want to go through a naked body scanner because I look like a bean pole. And I don't want to be on the internet. I don't want to be like, you know, hey, look, there's Shaziz, and he looked like a skeleton, man. He just went to the naked body scanner. Alright, I don't need that picture of me and that visual out there in the world's head. I'm trying to make the world a better place, not disturb the world any further. And I don't want to be, like, violated, so I don't go to the airport. So if I gotta go anywhere, I'll travel via whatever car or bus or train.
Trains, planes, and automobiles?
Yeah.
Without planes?
So there you go, man. That's my view on it. I want peace, love, and harmony around the world, and I don't...
For Pete's sake, fire at will.
Yeah. Fire at will. What did Will do to deserve it?
I know. And how is that going to help Pete's sake?
Yeah. How's that benefit Pete by shooting down Will? Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So, you know, the war to end all wars is a misnomer. There is no war to end all wars. Once you start a war, you create an enemy. And if anyone survives that war...
Well, there's a war to end all wars. It's just when you end all wars, what you're doing is you're ending all humans.
Yeah.
They can't fight anymore because they've all been destroyed.
Society's gone.
Mutually assured destruction.
Okay, so let's just say it this way. There is no war to end all wars that leaves a living beneficiary, with exception of maybe the roaches and Twinkies.
Okay. Well, we gotta put more dirty baby diapers and styrofoam burger packages into the landfills, because that's what the roaches are going to dig out of the landfills to fuel their starships.
Yeah.
Thomas? You know, one of the things, like Shiz was saying, he don't want to go to the airport and have one of his body scans because he's so thin and skinny. Actually, that's why he doesn't join the nudist colony. He's afraid that if he turns sideways to the sun, everybody'd laugh at his shadow because it'd look like a zipper.
Yeah, that's it, man. I'm the only one who could stand out there between rays and not get sunburned. Uh-huh.
Shazam is the only man I know that can stand under a damn clothesline during a hailstorm and not get wet.
Yep, there you go, man. But there you go. Two Dogs said, we had a ceremony and the ones who met with us planted a tree of peace in our territory. See, now that's cool, man. At some time in history, that tree is going to grow up, and then there's going to be some youngsters sitting underneath that tree saying that our forefathers and mothers, they planted this tree, and they never got to see it grow as tall as it is now. But
and there'll probably be one of them under that tree going, man, I wonder how many pencils I can make this tree into.
Oh, I wouldn't be getting that. Yeah, that would be the Donald Trump.
How many toothpicks?
No. How many protest signs against
cutting down trees?
But either way, you guys. Either way, that's what's cool about that deal there is what we talked about, the Johnny Appleseed effect, and everybody's talking about the Mandela effect. I'm talking about the Johnny Appleseed effect, you know. I'm going to plant a fruit tree that I may never, ever get an apple off of that fruit tree, all right? I may never reap the benefits of the fruits of my labor. I may never see it, but somewhere down along the line, somebody's going to enjoy an apple, and they might not even know I ever even existed. You know, there's no name under there that says, oh, Shaziz planted this tree for you, you know? And that's what they should do. They should put a placard underneath Two Dogs' tree that says, we planted this tree for you, you know? And that way...
Better put that placard out a little bit away from the tree so it has room to grow.
Oh, yeah, you got a pretty plan for that. But either way, at some point in time, somebody's going to benefit from that, from something as simple as the shade, you know? And if society is ever to, advance to the point where we all become enlightened and we finally get it and we start taking care of one another, you got to be the Johnny Appleseed, man. You guys got to be the Two Dogs out there that are planting the trees and the seeds and the ideas that are going to make this world a better place, you know? Once that bullet...
Apple tree, you plant a sinkweed seed, you get sinkweed.
Yeah, once that bullet leaves that gun... Ain't no pulling it back. But once that seed planted in the ground for positive, you know, as long as somebody cultivates that land and takes care of it, it's going to grow. And when it does, somebody's going to benefit. You see what I'm saying here?
I know exactly what you're saying.
There was a community out there that had a whole bunch of apple trees. And instead of leaving those apple trees for those less fortunate to be able to afford apples, they thought they were going to be too much of a burden and might draw bugs or whatever. And so they chopped them all down. The difference is that now when somebody really does need that food, and including them, it's no longer there. It's no longer a resource for that community anymore. The same thing would apply to whenever Thomas was talking about you're going to throw all the trash in the landfills that someday the roaches are going to use for their to build their motherships that they go out and populate other planets. Same thing, man.
Yep.
And that's the benefit. But it ain't going to benefit humanity, because at some point, humanity is going to push the limits too far. And we're just going to wipe ourselves out, man. And maybe these D-Wave computers out there, these quantum computers, have already figured it out and are starting to move things like a checkerboard or a chessboard or Chinese checkers, for that matter, into the right place to get us to see something at the right time, just to do the right thing and plant that seed. What do you think?
I think you're right. I like it.
Well, the only way that we can do anything and bring about peace to the world is if we are the ones that get up off the couch and do it. That's it. And if our kids don't see us getting up off the couch, if our kids see us doing things, it's a whole monkey see, monkey do kind of thing. It's true. It really
monkey
happens.
Monkey see, monkey poo.
Yeah, that too. But, you know, it's whatever the kids see whenever they're little, that's what they're going to do. You know, if you want to break those chains of violence and hatred, then you got to not be telling the racist joke to your child or your neighbor or your friend. You got to not be cursing in front of them, because they're going to repeat it. And sometimes it might be the case that they'll go to school and repeat it, and then next thing you know, you're going to hear it again, but you're going to hear it from either the principal or maybe possibly the authorities, depending on the severity of the crime. Oh, man. I mean, common sense, it's not that hard to understand. You don't put your finger in the fire if it hurt the first go. If you don't learn from history, you're going to repeat it. And there's so many different ways that you can say that. So, if you look out there in the world, and you see people protesting, and they're going to jail, they're getting beat up, some of them even get shot, and then they're out there burning down their own communities, and then they're hollering about they ain't got no job. Well, or, you remember, you took my job, they took our jobs. And
people from the future.
You gave them your job. You know, you just like burnt down the community because you was trying. You really showed those police officers, man. You taught them, boy. They learned a lesson. No, look, you don't burn down your own communities. You don't riot in your own town. You don't hurt your own people. If you want to really seriously protest, make sure you know exactly where you're going with it.
What is that, the greatest revenge you can have on your enemies is to live a good life?
Yeah. Enjoy yourself. If like, that's brilliant, Thomas. You know, like the most folks out there in the world that have a miserable life, they do it to themselves. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's true.
Yes, it is. It really is.
You know, and all the time, the justification comes about is, well, I did this because, you know, if my life hadn't been so terrible, I wouldn't be like this. Really? What part of free will did you miss? What part of responsibility did you miss? I mean, everybody, I used to tell my kids this all the time, used to drive them nuts. You know, if somebody walks up and they sock you in the nose, you got options. You know, after the crying's over, you got options. You could either sock them back in the nose, or you could walk away from it, or do something. You know, but regardless, no matter what you do, whatever your response to that is your choice. You chose to hit them back in the nose. See what I mean?
You know, people do themselves far more harm, by trying to get revenge on someone, then if they just take the same energy and put it toward bettering their own life. That goes along with exactly what Thomas said.
And Turdog put a statement in there. He said, hate is taught. And boy, is that not true. Because if you see two babies, it don't matter what color those two babies are. The only thing that they know is love and curiosity. Look, there's another child there. They don't see themselves because they're not looking in the mirror. But even if they were looking in the mirror, all they would see is curiosity. They don't see because this one's black or this one's white, I got to hate the other one. They don't know that. They're taught
they don't.
That.
They really don't.
And so, with that said, If you're teaching your children to love as opposed to hate, then you got to expect that those children are going to go out and teach their children to love as opposed to hate. That's common sense. But if this world hasn't got it figured out yet, I go back to this same deal. There were two Palestinian girls that a reporter was sitting there asking these Palestinian girls. They said, do you ever want peace with Israel? And the little girl said, no, we hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy. Well, think about on the Israel side, all right? The two little girls on the Israel side who lost their mommy and daddy. All right, so this is a perpetual Hatfield and McCoy thing that at some point in time, they don't even know why they were even fighting. They got ideas of what started it, but they're not actually sure. You see what I mean?
That's just it. Over 50% of both populations have no idea why they're fighting to start with. They really don't. No one remembers exactly why.
They only know what they're told. We fight with these people because they hate us and they want to kill us. Well, maybe those people don't want to hate and they don't hate you and they don't want to kill you. Maybe they're just doing it because you keep throwing bombs at them. You know? At some point in time, you stop throwing bombs at them and they get a chance to get to know you. Y'all get together and have a barbecue or a cookout and start talking things out. You might find out that you got more of a friend than you do an enemy. And that's the way the world works, at least in this particular reality that I live in. I mean, but as I look out there and I see what's going on in the world, and I listen to people talk about how, you know, these people hate these people, and Republicans against Democrats, Blues against the Reds, or whatever, Chiefs against the St. Louis Rams. You're living in the same state, but yet there's two different teams, and so which one are you going to side with? We're all living in the same world. We're looking at the same face, two different faces of the same coin, two opposite sides of the same exact coin, and yet we got to argue amongst each other the differences between right and wrong. The Reds want to steal Granny's wooden leg and take away her Social Security, and the Blues want to, take away everybody's protection and blah, blah, whatever. But in reality, if common sense ruled today and you paid attention to what your leaders are doing, then you would probably hold their feet to the fire and hold them accountable and not let them steal the election next go. You see what I mean?
Yeah. You know, one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of, I'm saying it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of, is when spectators at a game start a riot and start fighting amongst themselves over the outcome of the game.
Yeah,
it's a game.
Like the college kids that burn down their own campuses and turn cars over because they won. I mean, I can understand being excited.
Yeah.
But come on. How far is too far?
I mean,
Two Dogs should join us on the show sometime. He's got some really good advice for the world. He said all nations and all peoples have a right to exist, and that's what we keep saying over and over again. We need Russia to be Russia and China to be China and Canada to be Canada and so on down the line. We need that because we need the diversity. We need the checks and balances. We need the differences of opinions. But what we don't need. It's people fighting over those. We need people to be tolerant of one another and actually start to work solutions out together. You see what I mean?
Yes.
It's, you know, you don't have to believe what I believe because you're living your own life, and that's your life. It's your reality. And when our two realities clash, we can kind of like apologize. Oh, sorry, bumped into you, brother. It's a good, and go on about our day. Try to be respectful to one another. It's when somebody begins to start forcing their reality or their ideology or their beliefs onto you that things start to go awry, such as the government saying, you can't do this because it offends that group over there. Well, that group shouldn't be offended by this group over here, but they are. And so somebody said it's okay for them to regulate these two actions and thoughts. But at some point, the 1984 thing comes into play. George Orwell, is that the guy? George Orwell's 1984, is that the story? where now the thought police are telling you that you could potentially break the law or a crime in the future, so you have to be monitored or even imprisoned. When in reality, the best go is like to not teach your kids that it's okay to play video games and shoot each other and blow each other's brains out because it's not really real. It's desensitized. I can't even say it. Can somebody say that word for me?
What is it?
Being desensitized. Desensitization or something like that.
Desensitized.
Yeah. Desensitized. It's hard to say. But either way, it's the difference between World War One and modern day conflicts, where back in the day they used to shoot at a little round bullseye as a target, as opposed to now shooting at a black silhouette. There, that is basically desensitizing you to the deal that you, like, during the First War and even during the Civil War, there were soldiers that never even fired their gun through the whole process, came back with the same amount of ammunition because they were raised up with the morals that killing was bad. All right, and so when you get out there and you actually got to pull the trigger to take another human life, and you actually have to sit there and contemplate on, do I want to kill this person? You know, you might hesitate, and you might get shot. And so, now they got it so that they should have you shooting at what the shape of a black silhouette, which is essentially what you'd see at a distance. You wouldn't necessarily see the person's eyes while you were shooting at them. You just see a shape. And so, to get more people to fire, they get people to shoot at these silhouettes and train them over and over until now it's like, you know, okay, I'm shooting at a black silhouette out there on the horizon. It's not a human anymore. It's just a target. You see what I'm saying, the difference there?
Yes, I do.
Well, now more people die in war than they did before because more people are actually firing their firearms than before. So at what point does it come down to where, you know, life doesn't even matter anymore, and so you just go down there and mow down the enemy regardless, and the stronger survive. Do you want to live in a world like that? I don't. I don't want to live in a world where people don't care about each other and life doesn't matter. If somebody's starving in this world, it matters. If somebody's living in poverty or homeless, it matters. Because that one person, that one life over there, affects all the lives in the world. If that one life isn't of value, then no life is of value. If all men are created equal under the eyes of our Creator, or however you believe we got here, if all men are truly created equal, then this shouldn't be occurring in our world, in our reality. Am I wrong?
Right. 100% right.
Well, you know, I tell you, I just, I hope and I pray and I dream of a better future, and I'm just one guy. And if more people out there had that same view and they hope and they prayed for a better future for others, you know, what do I have personally to benefit by hoping for peace, love, and harmony throughout the world? I tell you what I have to benefit from. I have the benefit from knowing that my children and your children someday could live peacefully together and enjoy life and not have to go down the roads that Raymond and Thomas and I have. You know, they could have the health care that they needed. They could have all their needs met, and they would be taking care of one another to ensure that this is happening. If a person can't even afford to go to the dentist, and a person can't even afford to go to the doctor to have an ailment treated, and if a person can't even have access to a medicine that we know on one side of the world people are able to use, but on this side of the world it doesn't pass the muster of the Food and Drug Administration or the EPA or whatever, for whatever reason, it's denied. If knowledge from the past is ignored, such as what the Native American said, they didn't have doctors back then. They had natural health cares that they used. Those should all be on the table. Everything out there from every community, from the Amish community, the Chinese community, the Japanese community, we all have a combined amount of knowledge that the things that we've done before, the ways that we kept our food cool, the ways that we kept each other healthy and stuff, you know, those have gone by the wayside to the pharmaceutical community that now everything is synthetic, you know. And if we could just bring all that to the table as an option, and give them even actually the same option. You want natural or do you want synthetic? It's your choice. It's your life. You see what I'm trying to point out? I know it sounds as though I'm ranting, but in reality, it's all common sense when it comes down to the base of it. You can't ignore history. You can't ignore things that worked in the past. You can't forget. If you shoot somebody, somebody's going to want to come back and shoot you. It's a given. You know what I mean?
Exactly know what you mean, and you're 100% right again.
If you light the path through your house, that means Grandpa doesn't slam his toe into the coffee table and throw out the bleepity bleep 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 in front of the grandchildren. Crickets, crickets, crickets. Grandpas don't bleepity bleep bleep, do they? Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to have to get Two Dog on this show sometime. I'm gonna have to do that because he's a good guy. And he's trying to do a lot in his community. We need to get more people like him and more people like us to the table. So if you're out there, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. And today you've got to hear a lot of airport in Raymond's microphone. And you got to hear a lot of things about possibilities, quantum physics, reality, the goods, the bads, the uglies even, you know. And that's the human mind, man. We have before us opportunities after opportunities, unlimited potential, things that we could actually accomplish if we actually put our mind together and the resources that have been given to us by our Creator. However you think we got here, man, you know. I'm not trying to force my beliefs on anybody in this world because I don't know, because I just can't tell you. I don't know enough about where we all came from, but I can, using common sense and logic, see where it is that we're all going. And if on a daily basis I can turn on the TV set or the internet and I can hear that people are shooting each other and people are dying of sickness and starvation, and in my heart, I find that to be disturbing because I have a love for humanity. I want to try to say something that's going to ring a bell and change something that's going to send people down a different path. I don't want to see anybody's family do without. I don't want to see anybody hurting. I don't want to see anybody starving to death. All I want is to see that there is a possibility, a little bitty light at the end of the tunnel that's going to change the mind of the person who's thinking about jumping off that bridge. The person that's going to think about not killing themselves, that wants to live, that loves life. You know? And it's that simple. With my grandchildren, you know, they're a part of me. I gave my family, my wife, my kids, who brought the other grandchildren into the world. I started off this whole deal called my family, just like you started off your whole family. And my fathers before me started my family. And what they wanted for me and what I got today, I don't know, because they never said what they wanted for me. But I know what I want for my children. I want for my children peace, hope, and love. Because I've seen the videos, I've heard the newscast, and I've seen how I don't like to watch people cry. I don't like to see a tear in a baby's eye. It's just me. That's the way I was raised. That's what I believe in.
If those tears are tears of joy, I love it.
Tears of joy is a whole different side of the spectrum. I can understand tears of joy because I've actually shed a few myself.
Totally, a whole new life.
But sadness is, it's not cool, man. It's not cool at all. You know, to see that everybody gets it, those are where the tears of joy come about. To see people working together, to see communities actually pulling together and doing the heroic thing to try to make it so that this never occurs again. That's what I'm talking about. Those are the people we need to bring to the table. with hearts of gold like that. Those are the voices that need to be heard out there in this world. I mean, there's folks out there who own massive networks that, all they do is cuss and add to the mess, the chaos. And we're out there as a counterbalance to the mess and the chaos, trying to throw some flowers and some love out there. Come on, man. Look, you don't got to be like that. Try this. The yin and the yang, the whatever, the negative, the positive. You see what I'm saying?
Negative breeds positive. If you smile at someone, you change their attitude for the whole day.
Yep.
Maybe they'll smile at somebody else, which will change their attitude.
And that's why I said, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. That I've said many times. You gotta let me finish before you say I'm wrong. If I've said this many, many times, each and every individual out there, you're more important than you can possibly imagine. You are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. The power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. If you do something, something's going to happen. That's all there is to it. Whatever you do, something's going to occur. So if you think before you act, you might just do something positive to this world that might come back to benefit not just you, but everybody. Now, am I wrong? They're wrong! They just want to be controversial, that's what. Controversial.
You said something a minute ago. You said for every action, there's the opposite and equal reaction.
Yeah.
That's true. That does not mean, however, if you smile at somebody, you're going to make them angry. Because we're talking planting seeds here. When you smile at someone, when you have a kind word for someone, you're planting a seed.
Yep.
If you frown at someone and you curse at someone, you're planting a seed. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. You plant a ragwood seed, you get ragwood. You plant stinkweed, you get stinkweed.
That's right. And the wise man knows that you teach people how to treat you. And so if it's all right for you people to curse around you, then you say all the curse words you want. You just curse and bleep and bleep and bleep all you want. Because everybody who's around you, they're going to do the same thing. It's cool. It's cool. But in the realm of radio network here on Shaziz Radio, we don't play that game. Because we know it might be your child, it might be your grandma, it might be somebody you love and somebody who doesn't appreciate hearing all the bleepity bleep bleep bleep. Alright? It's as simple as that. And so we try to give you a decent show. We try to give you a respectful show. We try to pass our information and our ideas along without having to use filth to do so. I mean, you can punctuate.
I've said it several times, and I'd like to say it again. Foul language is the efforts of a sin-sick mind trying to express itself forcefully.
Yep. I could say the same thing without having to use filthy language to get my point across, and I'll probably end up with a little bit more respect than the other guy on the other side who said, "I just bleep and bleepity bleep this and that and you and all there and the horse you rode in on, jive turkey."
Yeah, the thing is, though, the more language you actually use in your conversation, the less people understand what you're really trying to say, because they're concentrating on the foul language so much so they don't get your point.
Yep. And so, with that said, if you want something good in this world, then send something good out. Plant a seed of something. Plant an apple seed. Plant a pear or a peach or fruit tree that's going to feed the masses of the future. Plant something like Two Dog and his crew planted. It's going to shade somebody and they can sit around and have a good family get together underneath this nice, beautiful shade tree that'll last for hundreds of years, if not longer. You know?
Well, if you want your neighbor's cattle getting in your garden, surround your garden with blackberry bushes. Don't spend your money on blackberry bushes, not on fencing. You plant a living fence.
Yep. And if you're gonna be like spreading hate and discontent, then don't sit around complaining about hate and discontent. Because you get what you give is what they say. And if you're giving nothing but hate and discontent, that's what you're going to get. If you go out there and burn down your own community and then cry because you ain't got a job, Well, maybe you shouldn't have burnt down the McDonald's. Maybe you shouldn't have burnt down the doggone, even if McDonald's is supposedly causes obesity. And just don't eat so much McDonald's, man. Doggone it.
You're opening yourself to another lawsuit here.
Yeah, that McDonald's going to come sue us. You talking about our food making people fat again? No, I said people just make people fat. It's like guns don't kill people. People kill people with guns. It's a tool. The Big Mac's a tool. You can either eat it or you can use it for a weapon.
Oh, man. So what we're going to do about, instead of fighting our enemies with bullets and bombs, we're going to build more McDonald's in their societies to make them fat and hard pass, right?
So if I go outside,
it's already happening.
If I go outside today and I get assassinated with a Big Mac shot through an air cannon, you'll know it's because of something I said. Alright, McDonald's got their spy versus spy guy out. They put a Big Mac inside an air cannon and then they blasted Shazam. I went down in a blaze of glory as that Big Mac slapped me upside the skull.
I don't know about glory, maybe a blaze of grease.
Time to lay fuse.
Alright, but just if that happens, make a plus out of it. You know, do a YouTube video, get yourself rich or something. You know, turn it into a positive.
That's so funny.
if life hands you lemons, then make lemonade is what they say. So if life hands Shaziz a greasy Big Mac to the skull, then, you know, I don't know what you can make out of it except a YouTube video.
YouTube videos.
Yeah, there you go. That's benefit. That's it. All I care for my little bit of sacrifice in the world, if you can even call it a sacrifice, then all I want is for you to benefit. That's
you smack the side of the head with a Big Mac, she says, you need to grab that sucker before it touches the ground and eat it, because you need some fat on you.
Well, yeah, I need to be obese, man. I start wondering sometimes, maybe I got a tapeworm, because I could eat like a sow and still not gain weight.
That's because you're so hyper.
Yeah. Well, there you go, folks. That's, once again, we wrapped up another Knights of the Round Table. I don't even know what number this one is, but if you like what you've heard on this show, spread it around. Share it with your social media networks. Hopefully common sense comes up out of what we talked about today. And hopefully I don't get smacked upside the skull with a Big Mac for offending McDonald's.
We're not really offending McDonald's. What we're doing is just advertising for them.
Well, yeah, we're just trying to point out to you, if you're going to enjoy something, you know, too much of anything's a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that you can eat so much chocolate it can actually kill you?
Oh, it don't surprise me.
Listen to the human digestive system.
Water's good for you, but if you drink too much water, you'll either pop your gut or kill yourself.
Yeah, you can. You can drink. So in this possible, I did this as an experiment in biology class in high school. You can drink so much water, thin your blood down to the point it will actually make you drunk. You get your blood so thin that you can't get enough oxygen to your brain.
Well, and
you get dizzy and see things, all kinds of weird stuff. So I did that as an experiment.
Of course,
that night I had to get up every 15 minutes to run to the bathroom.
Well, I wish you hadn't said that, because now there are going to be people out there trying to drink gallons and tubes of water and then be running around belly aches.
Well, the human stomach...
Anyway, folks, look. Don't sniff paint. Don't drink gallons and gallons of water. Use things in moderation with common sense and don't hurt each other.
Exactly. Moderation. Text. If you're going to text, do it in moderation.
Don't do it while you drive.
You don't drive and text. You don't walk and text. Come on. Sit down, relax, and enjoy it. Don't endanger your own health and other people around you. Use it in moderation.
So, basically, folks, that's it. That's the Knights of the Round Table. You guys got any last little bit of something there? Any last comments?
Yeah. Said it before, I want just to emphasize. Plant seeds of positivity. Plant an apple tree. Leave the stink weed alone.
Yep. What about you, Thomas?
You took our jobs!
I think sometimes it's not moderation that matters. It's everything has got a time and a place. You do it when it's time, in its place, not out of place, or else you'll end up basically getting pushed into the place you don't want to be. Like, you know, you're talking about hitting that tree or something like that.
Yep.
Amen.
Because you're too busy texting while you're driving, you know. Right. While you're driving is not the time nor the place to be texting. You know, wait until you're stopped.
Yeah, I think that falls under the realm of common sense. So, everybody, that's tonight's The Roundtable. Pay attention to the D-Wave and the quantum computers out there, because they might be causing the Mandela effect, and go out there and show the masses how to do things right, and you will find yourself in a better world one day. So, with that said, think positive thoughts, peace, hope, and love, and maybe together we can make the world a better place. Take care, buddy. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there? I'm 37. What? I'm 37. I'm not old. Well, I can't just call you man. You could say Dennis. I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet! But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and bad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Says he's the turbo. Always working to fill the turbo and the night's